If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Internet icon, handsome Jackie Jones, along with my right-hand man.
One-inch biceps, the power goat, and the man who tells you what to do, the boss. How about that, Jack?
I don't agree with this.
Well, yeah. We figured you would. We said that on the last show, so.
I see when I'm not here, you're plotting against me.
Coming up with new catch names or whatever you want to call it. Taglines, whatever.
I call it bullshit.
I am not the man who tells you what to do.
No, you're not. But damn. Enough of this nonsense, Itch. Are we going to guest on the line?
I know it. Enough of this hijinks.
Exactly. Formerly Katie Lee, we have a winter on the line. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, it's very exciting for me to be on the show.
I take that as a great honor.
I'm having a grand old time already.
Excellent. Well, most people just hang up after that intro.
No, I was amused.
All right, that's how we weed out the bad ones. But this is definitely a good guess. And we do want everyone know, this Saturday, June 1st, in Marietta, Ohio, for our friends over at Remix Pro Wrestling, you're going to be taking on Jesse Bell of OVW for Remix Pro Wrestling. And you can find out all the information on RemixProWrestling.com. There'll be a link right on the website. You can click on it, go there like magic, or Facebook.com/RemixProWrestling. And I believe you were about to say something, and I interrupted you.
Me? Oh, no. I was going to say I'm glad that you have such cool gimmicks. It's very important to have gimmicks.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure I can't see you, obviously. I assume you're very handsome.
It's probably a good thing you can't see me. It's kind of like when you call like a really tall guy shorty.
but I am interested in the 1-inch biceps.
Oh yes, many ladies are. So thank you so much.
Sure.
You can reverse that though, and that's probably the truth.
You know, speaking of gimmicks, I asked Mick Foley this too when he had him on. I like to name drop former guests so people check out the archives, and about the name Winter, because he talked a lot about it in his book. That was like one of his favorite songs. How did your name come about? Did it have anything to do with Foley? What the hell? Someone call. Now, if you call into the show, don't just start playing your music. I mean, I'm sorry, go on.
Well, they gave me the name. So I showed up, and then they said, hey, your name is Winter. And I said, oh, okay, cool. And then I assumed from that they wanted me to play an icy cold character, so that's what I did.
I thought it worked out well. Well, how about, you know, it was really memorable, your stuff with Angelina Love, and, like, when they came to you with that, like, did they have, like, the whole thing planned out? Was it supposed to go, like, somewhere specific?
They didn't have the whole thing planned out. It was sort of an idea of, you know, the direction of where the storyline would go. You know, we had some, you know, talks about what should happen next and stuff like that. But, I mean, mainly it's Ventuso's brainchild. So it was cool that it worked out so well. I mean, I had a great time doing it.
Yeah. Had you ever worked with her before?
Not before that, no. She was, we trained once together in OVW, but other than that, we've never actually worked together, so that was cool.
Yeah. When you were in OVW, there was a lot of women that really went on to be big in the business.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's what OVW is there for, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was awesome because I got to work, you know, with great people, you know, Beth Phoenix, Mickie James wasn't there anymore. I got to work with her later. But ODB was there, Serena Deep was there. It was really cool to, you know, just to be able to have really cool women's matches. And we had great storylines and stuff like that. So I have to thank Alf Mo's genius for that and Danny Davis, obviously.
Along those lines, Heather Owens, I was going to say friend of the show, but she actually despises me. But she wants to know, what did you feel about, that's an inside joke, about your ladder match with Beth Phoenix and OVW. She hearts that match, she says.
I loved the ladder match with Beth Phoenix. Obviously, it was awesome to have such a cool stipulation. You know, it hadn't been done before, at least, you know, in sort of a grander stage or, you know, in a prestigious place like OVW. So I was, first of all, I was very grateful that I was given the chance to do that. And then obviously to work with Beth Phoenix was great. I mean, she's so creative. She taught me a lot in general about how to take something and, you know, make it the best that it can be. Even if at first you think, oh, this isn't going to be great, but, you know, to make the best out of it. But obviously, the ladder match when it was going to be fantastic. But, so, they actually, you know, we had time to put some preparation into it and work out some spots and stuff. And then the ladder match was one of the first matches where I just remember very vividly standing behind the curtain before I was going out. And Beth Phoenix had already gone into the ring, and she was standing, and I could see her, you know, through the curtain, looking up at the ladder in the middle of the ring. And it just got this surge of excitement, and I was like, this is just going to be so fun. It's going to just be so awesome. So it was just one of the first matches where I didn't go in, like, really, like, nervous or anxious. It was more a feeling of, yeah, this is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it. And then it just worked out really well.
Sorry about that. If you guys call in, mute the show in the background. We've been doing this for 8 years. You should know this thing.
They'll never catch on.
You turn your videos off.
But, you know, it's, you know, unusual for women to do, like, hardcore matches. You know, when you're doing the ladder match and, you know, street fight with Mickie James and TNA.
Yes.
How do the other wrestlers feel about that, and how do you feel about that as a woman being in the in like a hardcore match?
I don't think that the other wrestlers necessarily feel any particular way about it. I think that it's cool when women get to do, you know, hardcore matches and stuff like that. Obviously, I think that women should or can, because they are women, play just a miniature, a little tiny bit safer, because I think the thing is, when a woman gets hurt, there's a lot more sort of uproar about it. You know, it immediately creates sort of a bad feeling in everybody's mouth if a woman injures herself. I think more so than if a guy injures himself, which, you know, I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong, but I think it's still great that when women get the chance to show that, you know, we can basically do the same stuff, and it can just be just as cool, you know, and it's not going to just be just a thrown together thing. It's going to be structurally, you know, dramatically, we can make it just as good as the guys can. And so I think, you know, yes, maybe it shouldn't be all the time, but I think when we do it and it's done well, it really stands out and it's really awesome for the girl.
Yeah. What would you say the difference was between WWE and TNA, how they showcase the women?
Well, I think that I want to say that WWE doesn't use the women right, because I think sometimes it's more you know, it goes in cycles a little bit. At times they have the women do amazing stuff. They do really great storylines. They build them really well. They do, you know, great feuds. They do, you know, they give them stipulations sometimes, you know, that end up being really memorable matches. And then other times they sort of use the women as fodder and go, oh, let's stick six girls on one, give them a minute to throw a match together. You know, so it's sometimes it's more about, oh, let's have the girls appear and be cute and do something for a minute and then leave. So I think it's a shame when that happens. But at other times, you know, they really get to show that case themselves really cool. I think in recent times there have been more singles matches where the girls have been able to put, you know, a little bit of time in and shown that shown their skills,
yeah,
we say. You know, I think it's really a little more consistent with the emphasis on work rate.
Mm-hmm. Is that frustrating when they only give you like a minute and you, like you said, you have like six people in the ring? Sometimes not everyone really makes it in the ring.
Oh, yes. It's very frustrating, you know. But then, you know, if you're a professional and you can figure out how to do one thing that's really
right.
cool, then sometimes that can be just as good as having 5 minutes and doing stuff that's so.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that you have to figure out how to put a match together in that amount of time with that many girls, but still add something to it that makes it special.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you train really hard to be a wrestler, and but at the same time, it is a TV show, and there are, you know, a lot of a large male audience. So you have to always kind of be aware that you want to not only showcase your talents, but you also have to, you know, look sexy for the men out there.
Well, yeah, but you just want to look sexy anyways, don't you? If you're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary like for the men out there. It's more just, you know, everybody wants to look nice, be snazzy and glamorous, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's not so much a conflict between the two, but it's like an addition, you know. You get to go out there and look sexy and kick butt. You know, that's even better than just one of the two.
Right. That's a motto of Jackie Jones.
There you go.
I know all about it. Handsome Jack. All right, we got John the Songman on the line, who probably has a song for you. What he calls a song.
Hi, Winter. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. My question
is... You have a song for me?
I do. You are my winter, my only winter. You make me happy when you're in the ring, because you make me just want to sing when I hear that ding, ding, ding.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. My question for you is, what kind of company do you want to see yourself signed up for 2013 that you're hoping to work for when you heard about it?
I guess Warner Brothers?
Oh, yeah, like anyone.
If I was going to be assigned to any company, I don't think that necessarily I would go or want to get signed back by a wrestling company as of now. Because I'm really, like, I'm getting the best of everything I get to now because I'm doing independent shows again. And so I'm getting to travel and wrestle and do all that. But I'm also getting to live in beautiful L.A. and explore the film world, you know, and work on projects out here, acting and stuff like that. So I'm kind of liking where I am.
Cool.
Okay, last question before I go. I would just like to know, what do you think your favorite match was when you saw your favorite wrestler Diesel in the ring?
Oh, well, Diesel versus Psycho Sid, the lumberjack match at In Your House in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's your favorite match?
Yes. Because the thing is, I never saw it at the time, because in Germany we didn't get the In Your Houses.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get the, they wouldn't stream it. So we only got stills of the In Your Houses afterwards. So I didn't get to see it at the time. I saw it much later. But because of the feud and because I loved Diesel so much and I hated Psycho Sid so much, and then the build-up was so exciting and so dramatic. I just remember this promo where Diesel was, you know, in the ring with his friends and talking about Shawn Michaels was going to give him chin music and stuff. And I don't know, I could probably barely sleep the next week until I found out whether he was able to hold on to his title or not. And he did, obviously, so that was good. But that was just a magical sort of memory. To me, just wishing and dreaming and praying that he was going to keep the championship.
You wouldn't happen to have been at WrestleMania 11, would you?
No.
Oh, okay. Just because I was at WrestleMania 11, I was my first WrestleMania, and I clearly remember there was a little girl behind me screaming at the top of her lungs, Big Daddy Cool, throughout the whole night, and it ruined the show for me.
Oh, no, that wasn't me. No, oh. I only went to a show in Germany in 1996, and I jumped over the barrier, and I gave Diesel a rose.
Well, that's excellent. Oh, that's sweet. Gave him a rose.
Have you ever
had a chance to tell him that story since you've been in the business?
Yes, and he did not remember me at all.
Oh, you
it was a bad day.
Well, thanks for calling in, John.
Thank you, and good luck to you, Winter, for 2013.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Let's see, we got a Freaky Seeky on the line.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, doing?
Even our callers have gimmicks. We're doing good.
That's beautiful. Freaky Zicky, I like
Yeah.
That.
I want to know, I'm sure I hear the very lovely and talented winner in the background.
I say in the forefront.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, pretty much the forefront, but I mean, I know she's there. I'm aware of her. I'm a All big right. fan, winner. How you doing, baby girl?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, you know, I'm out, like, chilling.
Do you have a question, Seeky?
Yeah, I got a question, like, since you've been out of TNA, has they tried to reach you to come back or anything? Because I really hope to see you on TV again.
Well, I won't say I wouldn't go back, but I'm kind of happy right now, you know, doing what I am, because I'm getting to do a lot of acting and stuff like that, so, but we'll see.
That's okay, and I got another question, if I may.
Hey, go for it, Seeky.
So are you a hip-hop fan, by the way?
Sorry?
He's trying to play his music to you, basically. He wants to know if you're a hip-hop fan.
Oh, I don't mind hip-hop.
Oh, well, how can I get you some of my music? I want to see what you think of me. I want your opinion on my music.
Sorry?
He basically wants you to hear his music.
Okay. Well, do you want him to play it, or shall he tweet it to me?
There you go. Tweet it to Winter.
I guess I'm going to have to tweet it to you. And what is your Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, what is your Twitter account? How can the Patreon?
At Katarina's Infamy.
At Katarina Infamy. And we'll have that up on the website, Seeky. Thank you for calling in.
It was nice talking to you, Winter. You know, like I said, I'm a fan. Like,
well,
good
you.
Luck.
Stay freaky.
Do your thing.
Whatever that means. You too.
I added the freaky part. I just said that. He needs something.
Did you?
Freaky. I think it's
Well, I think it suited him quite well.
I think so as well.
Not that I'm implying anything, but.
Yes, yeah. Andrew, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question from Changed Man on the message board here. He wants to know if you were a fan of Alex Wright in WCW.
I guess because of the German connection?
Yeah.
I was actually more a fan of Berlin, who was obviously also Alex Wright, because I always liked the heel. And so Alex Wright was a little bit too good boyish for me, you know, although he was pretty, but nonetheless. But I liked him when he was Berlin and he turned sort of pasty and bad. I like that better.
Das Wunderkind, he wasn't doing it for you, but I liked Berlin too. Yeah. But I thought it was a great look.
Yeah.
The Wall got the big push show out of it. He was pretty good too, but Berlin was a man. We had him on the show. He runs a school in Germany now, wrestling school.
Oh, cool. In Berlin?
In Germany. I'm not sure exactly where. Let's find out. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, at WrestleMania 25, when they had the Battle Royal, and it was won by Santina, what did you think of that?
The whole thing, or the fact that it was won by Santina?
Well, you could tell us what you thought of the whole thing, if you like. And then Santina.
Well, the whole thing, I thought it was a nice idea. I thought that it was a little bit too quick, you know, obviously. I thought it was a shame that the girl that came back, especially, you know, that obviously the girls from before that came back and were like the special announcements, that they didn't get more of an entrance and that they weren't, you know, showcased better. Mm-hmm. I thought that would have been, that would have made sense, you know, rather than having everybody just come together as if, you know, because they announced them as like a big deal that they were there, but then once we all came down the ramp, it was like they were just one of us. So I thought they could have been showcased better. I thought it was actually a good idea to have Santina win it, because, you know, how do you pick one girl to win the match? Unless it's, you know, Mae Young or somebody. You know, how do you give somebody that badge? I think that would have been very difficult. So I thought that, you know, having Santina win it was a fun ending. It was funny. It worked. You know, obviously, that whole gimmick got started from there, and it was a really fun feud. You know, the storyline with him and Beth, what came out of it was great. So I was happy about that.
Yeah. Now, why was it? Was it just a time issue that they really didn't? Like, I don't think they even got like a big ring entrance when they came down.
No, I don't know who made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Let's see. We got Adam Gonzalez on the line. Adam.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. You have a question?
Yeah. I was just calling and listening to the show, but I was just wondering what Winter's times being in TNA was like.
In TNA? It was awesome. I had a really great time in TNA. I was so happy about my character. I was happy about, you know, the look that I had. I was happy about that we got to have a proper drawn-out storyline, you know, lasted pretty much like over a year. And we got to backstage segments and, you know, interactions with all the different girls. And it was a proper thing that progressed, you know, week after week. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you want, you know, I think. It makes all the difference when you get a proper storyline. It's not just, oh, yeah, you're going to wrestle so-and-so tonight. That's cool. But it's even more fun when you get to build up to something. So that was a really great time for me.
What did you think about the new ECW and, like, how did you see that? Did you see it like, you know, a chance to shine on a little smaller portion of WWE? Or how did you see the new ECW?
Well, I thought the new ECW, it was cool, but it wasn't... I don't think it stood out enough from the other shows, really. You know, if they were going to revamp ECW, I think perhaps there could have been a little more of a, you know, unique setting point to it than there was, as it was. It was just, you know, a third show, which is all right. I thought the show was good, you know, and for us it was great to be on the show since we got to, you know, we did the feud with Shane Helms, and that was awesome. I was sad that we didn't get to complete our storyline with the Boogeyman that we started, because that was a lot of fun, and that could have been, you know, even more fun.
Yeah.
So I was glad to be on the show and anything like that, for sure.
I'm a big fan of the Boogeyman.
Gummy
Worm. Yes, me too.
Yeah. Itch Man, what were you going
to say? Oh, I just, when she was talking about TNA, I wanted to know who came up with the storyline about Angelina Love when she was, like, under your trance and all that.
It was Rusev's brainchild.
Ah.
You know, we had the input that it was mainly his writing.
How did you work with Vince Russo? Did you enjoy working with him? Or?
Yeah, so Vince Russo was great. I liked him because he sort of thinks outside of the box. I think he doesn't necessarily just think along, you know, wrestling lines. He also thinks along, you know, what's popular on TV and what's interesting on TV and what makes stories work, you know, more about the stories and not just as a wrestling feud. But he brought a lot of different flavors, I think, to TNA. And so I was sad to see him go.
Yeah. And speaking of TV, I always, whenever I watch Game of Thrones, I always think of you when they say winter is coming.
Yeah.
This is a great show, by the way. It's got nothing to do with this interview, but I just like to put it in there.
You got to get on that show.
Yeah. The books
definitely
are amazing.
You know, I have the books, and I'm always, I'm not sure if I want to read them before I watch the whole series, or maybe I should read one book after each season.
Yes, that would probably be better, because the show won't mar the books for you, because the books are so incredibly well written, and doesn't even probably wouldn't even matter if you knew the story already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to read them, because it's just so fantastic.
Yeah. Here in the chat room. Yeah, I'll definitely agree. Here in the chat room, Norrin wants to know, what was it like to work with Burchill?
Oh, Paul's awesome. I'd already worked with him before in England, for FWA. I don't know if you know that promotion, Frontier Wrestling Alliance. So that was, when we were there, it was the biggest promotion in England. So we worked there together already. So we already knew each other. And he'd gone to WWE before me, and then when we got brought up, we sort of suggested it, you know, or I suggested, you know, for them to put us together, and I really loved his style. And he's just a super nice guy, so it was just, we worked really well together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think it is, because we have the chat room and the message board and the shows all around the world, and there was a lot of people at the time that would... from the UK that would post virtual stuff, and he would do like really cool moves before he came to the United States. And he really had like a buzz around. Why don't you think he really made it real big in the United States?
I don't know. I mean, perhaps it's a time issue, or perhaps he didn't have the right people behind him at the time. It's always like a... It's always a good question of, like, how much you have the chance to really make yourself and how much you need somebody pushing you, you know, especially in WWE, because sometimes somebody likes you and they pluck you and then they make you a star. And then you have other people who just have to basically do everything themselves, you know, and they work really, really hard in the face of adversity. And then suddenly years later they become something. So, you know, I don't know, maybe... I mean, he got to do some really cool stuff, you know, it's not like he didn't have a good run or anything, but perhaps if he had more time...
Yeah, I wasn't taking anything away from him, I just thought, you know, he really did have a buzz, and a lot of people thought he could be like a main event guy, you know, he never got quite to that level.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's, you know, just not the right people being behind you, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that. So, but you never, I mean, there's people, for example, let's take Damian Sandow, who was in developmental for several years, and then they, you know, released him. And then he kept going on the independents, kept going, and then he got rehired. And then all of a sudden, his star shone, you know, because he just found that right gimmick for him. So sometimes it's just a question of if you keep going, you know, you'll finally find that one thing that clicks, and then you become the star that you need to be. Yeah. And sometimes people sort of don't want to keep going, and then sometimes they don't get to do that.
Sandow's actually one of my favorite new characters on the show.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Just even the way he holds the microphone is a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. I enjoy it a lot because it's like a clever gimmick.
Yeah, I dig it. And Trin, did you have another question?
Ludwig Borga from the message board. He wants to know, was it true that WWE was planning to do an incest angle with you and Paul Burchill, or was that all made up by the internet?
It's true.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was so disappointed that we didn't do it. I'm not actually joking. I actually mean that. I thought it could have been a really cool thing, you know. I mean, I've seen a lot of incest angles on soap operas, you know, especially in England, and they've always been, you know, some of the favorite storylines that people have. So I thought it was going to really be a really cool thing to do. But... You know, it didn't happen, so.
Now, do you think the audience is different in the United States compared to England for an angle like that, or why don't you think they went with it?
I think they didn't go with it because of the PG thing, because that was just right when they were transitioning into making it PG, and they were worried, and I think perhaps that there had already been some dissenting voices amongst the sponsors where they thought, oh, perhaps this isn't a good idea, you know, because people were already talking about it, like... I mean, people ask me about it now as if it had actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I do a lot of interviews where people go, so how was it doing the incest angle? And I always have to say, well, we didn't actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people ask me about it as if it had actually happened. So people were already talking about it. And I think there was some people who were then, you know, suggesting that it might not be a good idea. Suggesting to WWE that it might not be a good idea. And then they decided not to go with it.
Mm. If it had been the attitude error, it would have took off.
Yeah.
But there's not too many like untouched taboos in wrestling that they've never done an angle with, and that would have been a fresh
true.
One.
That's true. That was probably just bad timing.
Mm-hmm. Was Finley working with you and the other women? Were you around the time when Finley was there?
Yes, he wasn't exclusively with the women, but I did work with him. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did he help a lot? I was heard an interview not. It was just recently. It might have been, I forget who it was, but they said that that Finley was told that he was like basically doing too good a job with the women, and they wanted to tone him back a little bit because they were outshining some of the men. Do you remember any of that, or is there any truth to that?
I think I heard that too, but I wouldn't know if that was actually true or not.
Mm-hmm. So it probably wouldn't have went to you; it would have went to Finley. But do you think you really helped a lot of the other women who maybe didn't have as much training as yourself?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he helped me too. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
somebody like Finley. I mean, you don't have to be a woman to learn from him, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he can teach some of the main event stuff. So, I mean, he's got such a good mind for it. And not just, you know, moves, but how to put things together
mm-hmm.
differently and how to create, you know, a story and a match and, you know, just create exciting sequences and stuff like that. I mean, he's just a mastermind.
Yeah. Is that part of the wrestling that you really like? Like the psychology, how the match works, putting it together?
Yeah, because it's creative. You know, because when you start thinking about where should what go and what should follow next and how can we get the most out of, you know, this move, it starts becoming art. You know, it's not just athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It's also performance art. It's choreography. It's writing. You know, so I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. We'll let everybody know this Saturday, Remix Pro Wrestling, Marietta, Ohio. We're going to be wrestling Jesse Bell from OVW. And get all the information at RemixProWrestling.com or Facebook.com/RemixProWrestling. And have you ever worked with Jesse Bell before?
No, I have not.
Hmm.
Very excited. Yeah. Everybody has to come.
They do. They have to. If you're listening to this, or if you're not listening to this, you have to come to the show.
Winter says you have to come to the show.
Mm. Yes.
We command.
And if you did listen to this and you see Winter, tell him that you heard about the show here on In Your Head. It'll make your day. It'll make my day, actually.
How about this, Jack? The man who tells you what to do commands you to go to this show. How about that?
I think they're more likely to go with Winter telling them.
Oh, well, okay. Sorry.
Winter compels them to come and see it.
Exactly.
How about that?
Excellent.
We want to thank you for coming on tonight, and hope we can have you back sometime.
Yes, I would love to come back. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has.
Hey, all our guests don't say that.
In 8 years, it's the first one who's enjoyed themselves.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Hey, this is Sarah Del Rey, the Queen of Wrestling, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Dwayne's an idiot.
All right, we're back. It's in your head, bitch.
There you go.
Biatches out there. Hibbida hobba, dibbida do. And I've got some in your head for you. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Jack, did you tune in on your smartphone and watch the Bret Hart Appreciation Night?
Yes.
You did, actually?
Yeah.
I did.
What? You didn't watch Raw?
I watched Raw, but, like, there was a Bret Hart Appreciation Night after.
I don't watch that bullshit.
And it was on your smartphone.
Oh, man, the app?
Yeah.
Fucking apps. We're in the works. Al McGee posted this on the Headyverse. We're on the works to have the In Your Head app. So, like, right after the guest is off, you click on the app. You can see Incher, you know, taking a dump. You can see me chugging some Gatorade. It'll be good stuff.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Why am I taking a dump and you're just chugging Gatorade?
Because that's what we do. I chug Gatorade, you shit.
Well, thank you. But anyhow, Jack, WWE, they are going full force with trying to get people to watch their cell phones during the commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. And does anybody want to do that?
No.
I certainly don't.
No. If you had to think of one activity that really personifies you as a person, wouldn't you think it would be just like sitting on the toilet?
No.
Pinching a loaf?
No, probably the thing that would personify me as a person is plunging a dagger deep into your throat.
I even think of you sitting on the toilet. Or just, like, friggin' rocking out to some Pac-Man.
You see, that was the perfect setup right there for a gay joke, Jack. Plunging a dagger deep into your throat.
Yeah, but I don't like that, because I'm always the top.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. My apologies. Well, anyhow. I don't know, you know. I don't see myself as just the dude who takes dumps. It is a big part of my life because I eat and I instantly have to go to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're speaking this intro.
I deal with it.
I've got the Amazon wish list. Okay.
Yes.
So people are there like, you know what? I love In Your Head. I love all the stuff they do. I'm gonna send this guy some gifts, and so. The Change Man, he bought me a Sons of Anarchy hoodie and a matching hat. I mean, that's pretty freaking sweet. That was awesome. Thank you, Change Man. And somebody else sent me a Dracula poster. I don't know who it was, but thank you. Athena, the fine young lass, Athena Hollow. Mm. Oh, she sent me a pin. But anyway, someone, and this was not on the wish list, Incher. Someone sent me a package of Depends undergarments, adult diapers.
Oh, man, undergarments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any guesses who this might be?
I don't know. No guesses. I put it up on Facebook. I'd like to know. I think it's a funny gift.
And who thought you needed that?
I don't know. Someone who thinks I ripped my pants, obviously. Or pee my pants. Maybe it was reality on the message board. He's always talking about everyone pissing their pants.
Hmm.
He's been banned, but he used to talk about that.
He talked about it before he got banned. Man, I think like our entire chat room has been banned at some point, at some time. We always just loosen it up and... It's kind of like somebody just bust into Arkham Prison and all the nut jobs just run loose. we let them out and they all just get on the chat room and then they just make our lives hell.
TMC says that's one of the most insulting entertainment statements I've ever heard, Jack. Do you think of yourself as someone who just shits on a toilet?
Yeah, it is pretty insulting.
That's funny, though, I think.
It's funny. It wasn't about me.
I'm sorry, I love you, Incher. That makes all better, don't it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Kind of makes it worse. If you didn't care for me, you wouldn't ever say these things about me.
That's probably true. That's how I show love.
But anyhow.
That's why everyone always ends up hating me.
I tried to start out the show with a wrestling topic, but we quickly went
to
the
shit. Go on, go to wrestling.
That's just how we work. Well, I don't know. I was just trying to talk about WWE being so hell-bent on watching everybody, getting everybody to tune in on their
the
smartphones and watching the WWE app. I know mine's probably not fast enough to watch the content that they're trying to provide to.
I got the friggin' Samsung Galaxy.
That's what I got, too.
S4, baby.
I don't know if mine's S4 or what. It's probably not, because I think it's a little older than yours. But...
Well,
I have a Galaxy something.
Well, it should be good. That's like one of the best you can get.
Nah, this is it was a little older, I think. So. The Galaxy's been out with several different versions, I believe.
Oh, God. These phones, if you're messing up the audio, you're just being hung up on. I'm sorry.
There you go. You need to learn.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jimmy Jam, you were cut loose.
Listeners just need to learn.
Now, we're not going to take calls yet, but I do want to talk to this one guy called an incher. And then we're going to get to wrestling, because he had a song for the guest, and I think he's very proud of himself. So, John the Song Man, what's on your mind?
My thing about this goddamn Ryback thing, Ryback is a bitch. This thing... A lumberjack match and a table match, really?
Three stages of hell, Incher.
Three stages of hell.
If you're talking about lumberjacks, that's a match I can never stand. Like, you just have...
I am with you! It's just a bunch of bullshit guys standing around the ring, Incher.
And then they
beat up the baby face and they get disqualified every time. Who cares?
They should be on a porta potty and they do their business and then they throw it at the wrestlers. That would make him.
Remember
this.
Why is there no trees falling down? Why don't they have axes? Why don't they have saws?
That would be some shit if, like, a tree just fell over and crushed John Cena. Like,
Is that how lumberjacks fight? They just stand around? They're like, Why don't they have, like, they should all be dressed like Foley? With, like, you know, whatever the hell that is.
Flannel shirt.
Well, remember this.
Flannel,
there you go. Whenever they do these damn lumberjack matches, remember this. They just bring old guys that are not big anymore and these weak guys that nobody knows that they're still on the roster. That's the problem with these lumberjacks.
Well, would it really matter? I mean, would it matter if it was all big stars around that they just stand there? I kind of like that about the lumberjack. You're like, who the hell is that guy? Who the hell is this? And you're like, well, that guy's, like, employed with the company. I remember when when the Bulldog, Son of the Bulldog, was still around. And he was out there, and he's got, like, a cowboy hat on. I was like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, well, that's his new gimmick. He's a cowboy.
If it wasn't
for that lumberjack match, I would never known.
They get all the NXT nobodies and they just parade them around the ring and you're like, oh my god, who are these people?
Clinton's saying that lumberjacks don't even wear flannels anymore. You know what? Did grunge kill the lumberjacks wearing flannel? Because like they used to be, if you wore flannel, you were like a tough guy. You cut down trees. And then, like, in the 90s, it's like, if I wear flannel, I'm like this emo guy, cuts himself and cries that nobody likes him.
The only lumberjacks
I can't wear this anymore. People are going to think I'm in some friggin' garage band from Seattle.
The lumberjacks I ever see anymore is the ones on the Extreme Logan show on a History Channel.
Was that a gay euphemism, or is this a real show?
Nah, it's a real show. I forget what the hell it's called. It's like they always like almost drop a log on somebody else.
Like the Bellas?
And then they go, you almost dropped that on my head, you asshole. And then they're like, you need to watch this show. And I'm like, I do not need to watch that show. It's kind of like the Ice Road Trucking show. And it's like...
There's a new show. It's like... The Treehouse Master. And it's a show on every week about a guy making treehouses. How can that be a show? How can anyone want to see a show about a guy, a grown-ass man making tree houses for grown people. Weekly!
Does he stand up and just yell, I'm the treehouse master, and I run this house. No children shall enter this house.
If that bullshit can be on TV, why can't there be an In Your Head show? Why can't Jack and Intra be on TV?
Uh-huh.
Intra shitting on the toilet, and I'll be drinking some friggin' some rum and coladas.
Could you be in a bad situation for once? I'm always just shitting on the toilet, and you're just drinking a drink of some sort.
It'll make me look like an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I made a promise to somebody that I'm not supposed to drink unless I'm out with her. Do you think do you think I'm alcoholic?
Hmm.
What do you think about this?
I don't know. Do what you want to do, my man. Don't be letting nobody tell you what to do unless it's me, because I'm the man who tells you what to do.
All right, Lumberjack John. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Remember that?
I mean,
I used to use a lumberjack.
I mean, but that's another thing. If you ask me, like, is there one that I ever liked? And it was just the one Winter said with Diesel and Sid. That's the only one I saw in pre, because you had more big stars than that. One, just several weak guys. I mean, you did have weak guys in there, but not as much as 20.
I just think the match is lame.
Yeah. It's always kind of just shitty. Hmm. Somebody gets thrown out, and they start beating on him, then they throw him back in. That's it.
They used to wear straps, like, back in the day. They'd have to, like, whip them to get them, and then they would eventually have to jump back in the ring. But I don't know. Okay. Here we go, Intra. You got the Ryback.
Yeah, the Ryback.
And you got the John Cena.
Johnny Cena.
And you got the two big badasses. One's all jacked up. He's a steroid to the gills.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like a friggin' He's got like intravenous. He's got an IV hooked up to his friggin' steroids. Feed me more! And they're just friggin' pumping steroids in the guy. And John Cena's John Cena. He can have some good matches. I'm not going to take away from him. But let's face it. A Ryback match with John Cena. First of all, it can't be real long. For lots of reasons. One, it's not going to be particularly good. The guy's going to run out of stuff to do because he just does power moves. And fans aren't going to want to see it. I think they want to see at a Ryback a short explosive match. You see what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Bam, bam, bam! You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly, just like that.
Uh-huh.
I follow you totally.
Bam! And so if you got this big, long...
I like explosions.
Yes! And they got three matches, so it can't be like 10 minutes. It can't be like 3 minutes per fall. It's going to be horrible. So they're going to have three matches, each one maybe like 10 minutes, 10-15 minutes. It's like a tugging like a half hour to 45 minute deal.
Mm-hmm.
That does not make the match better. Having one gimmick for it will improve it, because then you can kind of hide the weaknesses and they can do a bunch of shenanigans. But three in a row, best you save a best out of three match for like friggin' Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. Or maybe put Daniel Bryan. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose. Best out of three.
There you go.
That would improve that. But who wants to see Ryback in three matches in a row?
The WWE Universe. That's who wants to see it.
He's going to have to lose at least one of these. I mean, I don't think... If he beats Cena twice in a row, they won't even get to the ambulance match.
No, he's not beating Cena twice in a row.
No.
Take a fall. Again, even though he's coming off like 300 losses.
Yeah, they don't like letting him win at all. Not at all, my man. He is going out there. He is jobbing.
I would rather them just put a false count anywhere match where they've been going everywhere for the past 2 weeks, I'm assuming.
Let them
go anywhere. Let them beat
Preach
the hell out of each other.
John. Preach on, Johnny Man. Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yes,
you
sir.
People You know who I am.
No, you know who I am.
I'm here. Where is in sure? Where is Bill Clinton?
He's not
that
here.
That punk can't even get in the building. Me, I call whenever I want, whenever I want.
This guy's got a fucking ego insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And where, oh, where is Jackie Bones? Because
right,
I got a scoop for you. When that King Doe lookalike, when that Weatherman wannabe comes on you later tonight, I got a challenge for him. For him, sure. For Phil Clinton.
Who is he talking about?
And for anybody else on In Your Head
Radio.
He's
doing like the whole Scott Hall entrance into WCW.
There you go.
The entire thing. He did it all, Jack. He did it
all.
That's
awesome. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to spell names.
John, if you put that much effort
I just should have put the voice of the ugly people.
Man, he's going old school.
You are old school, Johnny.
have you been hitting the wacky tobacco?
I think he wakes up like that, Jack. I think he wakes up and his eyes are swirling around in his head. And he just goes through his entire day like that. He's like, Mom, you are my mom. I like the way you cook the pancake. She's like, ever? Go call a radio show already.
Who loves my new book? Why don't you take a look? Because about how you cook with the hook.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what's going on.
Speaking of a hook, I was out to dinner a few weeks ago. And in the restaurant, she's like, close your eyes, I got a gift for you. So I close my eyes. And she put a big-ass rusty hook in my hand. I don't know how to take that. Is that like, should I be like, hell yeah?
I'd be concerned.
Oh, I kind of dug it.
I'd be like, what the hell?
Now I can cook with a hook. Make this song a reality that John sings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Johnny the Song Man, he is a bong man. Johnny the Song Man, he is a thong man. Johnny the Song Man, oh yeah. He's Johnny the Song Man.
He's old John is writing the song.
One last thing
he's
I had
green.
To...
It's all wrong. He's old John. He's a man of song. He's old John.
If you have tuned into the show, clearly we don't want to talk about wrestling tonight.
Well, that was the thing I had to bring up. Like, is it a big mistake yet again? Yes! 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 I beat him! By a count-out!
I think
they let this guy come in for volume and being like this new guy that's going to be saying, I'm going to take over. And then what does he do? Yet again, no victory over the big guy, John Cena. Just a count-out. I mean, that's a huge celebration when you saw him celebrating.
Yeah, he's not going to get over like that, that's for sure. But Jack, you were out last week.
Yes, I was.
And we need to know your opinions of Curtis Axel.
I'm going to go against the grain on the internet. I like the man. I've always thought he's good. People used to hate the guy. Says McGillicuddy sucks. I said he's good. I don't like the name. The name is horrible. It's like a modern-day take on Rocky Maivia. The name is the shits, but I like the guy. I like Paul Heyman. I like his pairing with Paul Heyman. I like him in the ring. Is he real flashy? No, but he's got the movements. If you watch him wrestle, when he's throwing the punches and the kicks, he moves very much like Bobby Roode, and that is because Bobby Roode moves like the late great Curt Hennig. He moves like an old school wrestler, and I like that. So I see what Triple H likes about Curtis. Don't like the name though. Curt Axelman, whatever the bullshit is, not good.
Oh, and they did it
just
again.
Just call him friggin', how can you go up this out? They always have to bring attention that his dad is Curt Hennig, his grandfather is Larry the Axe Hennig, but yet he always does not have their last name. Doesn't make sense.
He could pay homage
to both. Exactly. They didn't do the same thing. Like, hey, a former NXT guy, he's back. They don't bring it again for memories.
What? Who cares? I don't think they should bring it up, because if you bring up the fact that he's McGillicuddy, people say, oh, yeah, he's a job guy that never won a match.
We talk about Chenu, formerly known as A-Train. They didn't say anything about him, formerly known as Albert. They didn't say anything about him, and now they're doing the same thing with him.
You shouldn't. He's a new character. They're trying to repackage him.
Mm-hmm. Give him a beard.
Would that help? They said, "Oh, that's Michael McGillicuddy, you know, the guy that wrestles on Saturday morning bullshit, never wins."
Saturday morning slam, Jack.
No one wants to know that. Let's bring him out. This is a new beginning, new start.
Yeah.
Then when Dwayne Takah came out, they say, "Hey, that's friggin' Big Josh over there." Now he's dressed like a fucking clown. That would've sucked.
Yeah, it would. I don't even remember Big Josh. I don't think I was watching during that time. What was Big Josh?
Lumberjack, it all comes back now.
Oh my
God. He was a fucking lumberjack who had an axe handle. He carried an axe handle for weapon. Now, he had no axe on it, no blade, just the handle.
Well, at least it's realistic for wrestling. It's not like a sledgehammer.
It's true.
Yeah.
Now, John, have you ever been smashed in the face with a sledgehammer?
I would rather not, but I've been hit several times with my head open.
I do not find that surprising.
Jack wants to
use
his hammer on you.
Hi, my name's Jackie Jones, and I love my hair, because I love to impress my bear that I won when I was at the fair, when I was on the air.
I'm interested, bear. Now, John, before I let you go, how many medications are you on?
I'd say 11.
Really?
That's the magic number.
No. Just 6.
Now, it's just for, what are these for?
It's for my health, because I have a lot of hot buttons.
You have a lot of hot buttons? Now, if you weren't on medication, would you just be like going around like slaughtering everybody?
Mostly for seizures.
All right, well, stay well, John. Stay well.
Thank you. And I'll be back for new ones, especially for Incha, because he didn't get one that much this week.
Aww.
But he will next week.
Well, thank you. Maybe give it to me, John.
Put something about the toilet in it.
I'll make sure he gets the brush so that he can flush.
There you go. Talk to you soon.
Because I know he's always in a rush.
See? It's right in itself, Incher.
You're making me lap up your humiliation, aren't you? All righty,
really,
Johnny. It does.
Lap up my humiliation.
All righty, Johnny. Well, good talking to you.
I like him. I like this. I don't like the name, but I like it. I don't even mind that he's winning kind of fluky at the moment.
Because
I think it'll lead somewhere. I'm going to let it go.
I want to see, the big guys in WWE just come in and they get, turned into bitches just by somebody. That might actually get the dude over.
Well, I don't think it. You think you should just get, sodomized in the ring?
No, not like that. I mean, to have John Cena come out and be like, "Oh, you're nothing, dude," and then he just gets his ass handed to him. Might make the character good for once.
So he doesn't win, he just gets his ass beat.
Gets his ass beat.
But he wins by count out.
Say Curtis Hawkins gets in the middle of the ring, he puts John Cena over his knee and he paddles him good. That's right.
That'd be good. Curt Hawkins or Curt Axelman?
Curtis Axelman.
What is his name?
Curtis Axel. You got to think Axel Rose, and then you got to think Curtis.
I like Axelman.
Curtis Mathis.
Curtis Axelman.
That has more of a ring to it than just Curtis Axel.
Fuck.
I don't know. I wasn't too big on his debut. Paul Heyman didn't even look like he was into it either. He was just kind of going through the motions. I think he was like, yeah, coming out now is Curtis Axel. And I think he had that thing in the back of his head that was just like, man, that's a bad name. I can't get this name over.
Paul Heyman kicks ass.
He does. He does. And as good as he is, I just don't think he can help this man.
I think he's helping him already. I'm liking it. I'm giving it a shot. You can go to your IWC bitter boys club and say, I hate that man. I'm saying I like it. And I'm giving it a shot. What do you think about that?
Nah, I don't know. I just need to go to my clubs. Do they what kind of facilities do they have at these clubs?
Oh, they got like a porta potty.
Oh man, I hate porta potties.
You like the porta potty?
You know, I've actually never done my business in a porta potty. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were kind of like a guy who really kind of like, you know how they have those shows like Dinner Drive-Ins and Dives where they go around and check out all these? You should have a show where you just
I'm the guy coming out of the porta potty. He's like, yeah, they got good food in there, man.
You should travel America and check out the public toilets.
You can trust Arby's toilets. Anytime you go to an Arby's, they always seem clean.
You don't think that'd be a good show for you? You'd be like traveling around. Like, oh, they have like a camera sitting on you. Now, do you read when you're on the toilet?
I normally just stare blankly at the wall. That's what I do.
You know, I play Candy Crush.
Candy Crush?
Yes. On the phone. That's a new app.
If that's what you want to call it.
Oh, man. That game's addicting.
It is.
You don't. I either read or play a game. I just figured you spend a lot of time there. You could be like reading friggin' War and Peace or something.
No, I don't spend that much time there. I'm just saying, Jack. If you want to consider yourself a real man, you got to eat meat. You got to take shits in Publix. That's what you need to do, Jack.
I mean, you don't even
meat.
You don't shut the door.
Well, you can shut the door, but you can't be one of these namby-pambies who's like, oh, I gotta get in the bathroom, I gotta run back home. You gotta be like, I gotta use the bathroom, and I'm going in the Arby's. I gotta use the bathroom, and I'm going in the Wendy's. I've gotta use the bathroom, and I'm going in the McDonald's. I don't care, because I gotta use the bathroom. And I'm going to go do my business.
Well, we got a caller here. Are you calling in for winter?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good, because if you were, I was wondering what you'd be thinking of this conversation at the moment.
Well, I actually feel really bad. I'm calling in with a serious topic, and I feel bad that I'm interrupting all the...
I think we need a change of subject here, Dr. Kitchman.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Well, this is Mike Messler.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
I heard you guys mention the Curtis Axel and the Paul Heyman thing, and I had just come across something last night. I don't know if you guys have heard this interview or read pieces of it on Pro Wrestling. I'm looking at ProWrestling.net right now that has a synopsis of it, but the interview was actually from Busted Open on Sirius Radio, and they asked Mick Foley if Triple H had squashed Curtis Axel's debut. Have you guys heard about this interview?
No, I've not.
It's a really interesting take, and if you guys have just a second, I wanted to share a piece of it and see what you guys thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a quote from Mick Foley. Now, he said, "This is not a knock on Triple H, but Triple H talked about retiring me after I already came back 3 times. At that point, it was a big deal in 2000 for Triple H to talk about retiring me. If Triple H has had his last match, which is a good possibility, then I see Paul Heyman bragging for the next 3 years that Curtis Axel retired Triple H, which is much bigger than beating him and much more meaningful as to whether or not he was slapped or made to look weak momentarily. For people who ask me, I think this guy, meaning Axel, has a chance. But then he goes on to talk about how talented he was, despite, and that he suffered through the Michael McGilley indignity is the word that he used.
Mm-hmm.
And he just talks a little bit more about it, and Foley ends up saying, as a fan, it has me hooked. Even if you're not saying Curtis Axel right now, I believe that Paul's the master. I'll call him the master gardener. He knows how much water and sunshine to give his project, and then they have to grow on their own. I thought that was a really interesting way to spin Axel's debut, because, like a lot of people, my first thought was, wow, Triple H just buried him with the first word that he said to him about the big people are talking and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, having read this and kind of looked at it through Mick Foley's eyes, so to speak, I think a little bit better of his debut. I don't know what you guys think about that. I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I think he has a little, a great point there, and I think it depends on what they do, going forward with him. Obviously, if they don't do anything with him, it won't matter, what happened with him in Triple H. But after a while, people will forget, like you said, that he slapped him and the stuff he said, and if they brag that up every week, for months and for years, that he was a guy who retired Triple H, that will be all you remember. But I believe Triple H is going to come back next week.
I think about this, though, and I think about Chris Jericho's debut with WWE and how The Rock pretty much trash-talked him. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't watching it at the time. I'd kind of taken a little break from wrestling. So I don't have, that feeling, that gut reaction in my memory of what I thought as a fan when I saw it. But I don't think people look at that now as, say, The Rock buried Jericho when Jericho came out.
No, I don't think they do now. I remember at the time, though, it really did take him down a peg, and it took him a while to really recover and become, like, the big star that Jericho had become.
But he
that
did.
Doesn't really
he,
make
I mean,
sense
that's
to
a
do
good
that
point.
Here.
I mean, he did. Yeah. The other thing, when I watched Raw, I think it was this week, it would have had to have been his match with Cena where Axel again won by countout. And I don't know if they're trying to build momentum the way they did with the Miz-Cena feud. Remember a couple years ago where Cena would never come out and Miz said he was 5-0, and that apparently was modeled after something that Jericho did in WCW. So you saw Axel at the end counting, I'm 2-0 now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that feels played to you guys or not. That felt a little forced to me at the end. But as far as the debut, I still think that Foley was spot on just with the debut part of it. Mm-hmm.
I see two different things about him beating these guys, not cleanly. It's one, if he goes out there and he beats these guys, just pins them right away. Do the fans really buy that this new guy, someone probably remembers, Michael McGillicuddy, all of a sudden just pinning, these top guys? That might look a little odd. Also, where does he go from there? If you pin Cena in, like, your second match in, where do you go from there? So if he beats them by countout, it still keeps people like, this guy did beat them.
The point that you're making, I think, implicitly, is he's a different kind of heel than Ryback, or different competitor than Ryback. That's how Ryback starts. It wouldn't make sense to have Axel come out and do that now.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with Ryback, I don't think he really does need to win.
Sure.
He loses almost all his matches. Like WrestleMania, I don't know, it's very bizarre.
Or just lose by DQ and destroy guys. I mean, that would still be a pretty good MO for the kind of heel that he is.
Just not get pinned. But what was weird about the Ryback thing, they never explained, why he didn't win the title at Extreme Rules, because they both went through the wall, and he was clearly up first, so shouldn't he have been the champion?
I watched that match, and I saw a lot of people talking about that online. And I was half paying attention because I was doing some other stuff, and I was watching it on my computer. And I saw a lot of people talking about that, but I didn't actually see that piece of it, and I was wondering if that was a glitch. Was that unintentional that they showed him standing, or was it a very clear shot of him still standing after that spot?
Yeah, well, you know, they cut away for a little while, so you didn't see anybody, and I think that was a good move, because sometimes when they do that kind of thing, you can see, like, the padding, and they're probably moving around. And then, but still, you know, when they cut back, he's walking around, and Cena's on the gurney being put in the stretcher, so you would think that he won, or at least explain what happened, because they didn't even have any explanation, like, on Raw or anything, well, you know, who really won the match, or what happened with the title, or...
Yeah, it sounded kind of sloppy, because, like I said, I watched that, and it literally was like, I blinked, and I missed that spot, but everything up to that with him going through the, you know, a lot of people call them Christmas lights, so they said it looked like he was going through Christmas lights, because
yeah.
it wasn't the same board, it wasn't that same kind of, like, facade, it was more of a facade than a light board up there, and then, yeah, they just did kind of some really tight shots on them, you know, carting Cena off, and yeah, it was a really awkward feeling. It reminded me of I think there was a Batista Undertaker series where they had a Last Man Standing. It might have been at Backlash years ago or something like that, where it was kind of like neither man, they had like pieces of the stage falling. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was a horrible ending to the match, and then they just kind of ended it. And you know, what does that mean? In this case, it was much worse because it was a title match and there was like no clear resolution to it. So the whole thing just sounded like kind of a transitional way to continue this feud with not a lot of value, at least for fans. I mean, fans don't seem to have cared for that match at all.
I thought the match was actually good, except for that you didn't know who won the finish. But
it changed it a little bit. I mean, it's hard to look at the rest of the match like that.
It all comes down to the finish. And it's weird because they do that big thing and they say Cena's out and he's off 1 week and then he comes back and there's like no mention of any injury at all or that he was off last week or like he can never sell any type of like injury at all. He just comes out smiling. And
I'm looking at your chat room right now and somebody actually made the point, Noren Rad made the point, and I missed this. Ryback had his arms draped over a couple of refs, so he was supposedly being helped. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's really should be the job of the commentators, like when JR would be there, or whoever should be able to do it, just make that explanation. Say, oh, well, he's helped up, so there really is no winner here. They were both out. And just something little from the commentators to explain it.
Yeah. Sometimes little things like that, like what you're talking about, really improve the overall experience of either the match or the pay-per-view itself. And that's just, maybe it was a glitch, maybe it was just a bump in the road, because even though most people don't like Cena, he's capable of a really good match.
Yeah,
he is capable of a really good feud.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really seen it mature yet, I guess. But I think, I mean, back on the Axel point, I think that's probably true for Axel too. I think he's capable of a lot more, and you know, maybe a rough start, maybe not the way a lot of people.
And there have been a lot of guys
that
get, and sometimes they give a guy a big push right away and they beat everybody. Then they really fizzle out quick. Maybe they think this is a better way to slowly push him as a top guy, and he'll actually stick as a top guy.
Right. And with the idea of him being in a Heyman stable also, that gives him maybe a little bit more staying power. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. And I like the old school Paul Heyman as a manager that you put a guy with and he instantly is like credible.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, well, thanks a lot for talking to me, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Anytime.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
See ya.
Excellent.
That was Mike Besslercher from PW, from Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Ah, excellent.
Good man.
Quotes us.
Yes, he does. Yes. All right, was there anything else you want to talk about on Raw?
Chris Jericho, he has moved on from the Fandango feud, and he's going to be feuding with CM Punk.
Really dumb that they ended the feud with him in Fandango with a Jericho win.
Yeah.
Because he won the last match.
So, yeah, and why is he feuding with CM Punk to begin with?
I don't know.
Doesn't make no sense. I mean,
I'm sure the promos will be good.
Oh, yeah, it'll be good stuff when they get started, but I don't understand why he's gunning for CM Punk all of a sudden.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I guess like he just needed to put Fandango somewhere else. So.
You built all that Fandango up, though, and he beat Jericho a million times, and then the end of the feud is Jericho winning. I don't think that's smart.
I guess they're just dying to have a Fandango feud with Wade Barrett.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Two heels?
There you go.
No one will care about that.
Maybe they're trying to turn Wade Barrett into a face, or maybe they're trying to turn Fandango into a face.
What does Wade Barrett have that they just, like, he's like Swagger, they just push this guy forever?
He's got pictures of Vince with a wig and pretending that he's Stephanie. Triple H.
Shield, Daniel Bryan, Kane, awesome. Just friggin' awesome. These guys, they're
matches.
Some of the best stuff on Raw. In all of wrestling.
Yeah, it's good to see them with all the belts. What'd you think about that, them getting all the gold on the pay-per-view?
I kind of figured it happened. I like it, though. It adds prestige to them. They've actually done a good job so far with Dean Ambrose as U.S. champion.
It seems
like they're, you know, he seems important. Always been a huge fan of the guy. And as champion, he's kicking ass. He's not losing like Cesaro. So I like it. It could help him and the title.
Yeah.
Love the Shield, though. The Shield's just amazing. And then Daniel Bryan has always been, you know, I've never really been a big fan of him before WWE, but WWE's awesome. And just lately, I think he's got, like, a new fire. Because I really think after they break up the team that he's slated for, like, a huge push. And, like, he's really trying to prove that he deserves it. He's just been tremendous out there lately.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see him.
Talk about WWE. There are a lot of great stuff. The Shield, Daniel Bryan, Heyman out there.
I'd like to see him get away from the whole beard thing and just being a goofy character. I'd kind of like to see him just try to, you know, do a serious type of gimmick.
Well, he's kind of doing that now when he's saying, yeah, I'm not the weak link, and he's just really kicking ass in the ring.
So
but
true.
I think in their minds he has to have a little bit of something like that, the beard or the silliness for him to be over with the guy. To me, though, I think it's that stuff gets over just because he is so over. I think he could go out there and just chant anything, and people are just going to be into it. It's not that yes, yes, yes is a great thing, or this crazy beard is great. It's just the fans really are behind him, and whatever he chants, they get into.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably the most over guy out there, and he doesn't have to put, like, if they would get behind him like they get behind Jack Swagger or Wade Barrett or whoever, the guy would be huge, I think.
They just don't for some reason.
I mean, I think they're about to. Or I mean, even Zack Ryder. Well, I'm not a fan of him. Zack Ryder got the pushes that Wade Barrett did. He'd be a big star. His fans liked him already. He just gets friggin' jobbed out. He's just like a total job, Mick.
Yeah, who's just beat Zack Ryder? And then in,
everybody?
Like, Kali or somebody like that. Just beat the hell out of Zack Ryder.
Cesaro, he's become job guy now.
Mm-hmm.
After having, like, awesome matches on the... it's like the only matches I went back and watched on, because I heard so much about him. And he has, like, having these tremendous matches on...
I think he probably realized when he started yodeling going to the ring that he was taking a fall.
I think they thought that was, like, this is what's going to get this guy over.
Incorrect.
Then he had awesome matches, and then now he's, like, losing to friggin' R-Truth.
Man.
R-Truth!
What's up?
Triple H back already?
Not quite yet, but I guess he's coming back.
I think next week. Why don't they sell injuries more? Why does Cena get thrown through a wall and he just comes back smiling like an asshole?
That's just how they do it.
Why is he going to smile all the time? I try not to hate John Cena, because he's had awesome. He has had really good matches. he's had good promos, but then he has to come out with a big goofy grin, no selling everything, with this just the stupidest shirt I've ever seen in my life. The champ is here, pointing to his cock, but he's got like a belt on it.
He's just so played out to me at this point. It's just like, man, I don't want to see this guy with the title. I've seen this a million times already. Mm-hmm. It's just Cena with the title.
Oh,
give us something
so
else.
Boxman, have we talked about Bray Wyatt yet? Oh, I love this vignette. The Wyatt clan coming in. Loved it. Awesome.
Seems like a character I could dig.
Hillbillies. I love hillbillies. I love friggin', you know, hillbilly Jim dancing around. And I've been saying for a while, and what have I been saying on the show? They need a modern day hillbilly. I was thinking like, you know, like cannibalistic, like Wrong Turn type hillbillies. But this is close. These are like sadistic, like I'm gonna make you squeal like a pig hillbillies. Make you feel right at home.
Huh.
What do you think? I love it. Brody, I've always been a big fan of, what's his name, Lee?
Brody Lee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was always good, all the stuff that I've seen him in ROH, so I'll be glad to see him in the big leagues. But, yeah, I like the character. I like how it's kind of a play off of Max Cady from Cape Fear. It's good stuff.
I like the hats.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Hawaiian shirts.
Mm-hmm.
The only foul, Brody Lee, now, I've seen him live many times. Huge dude. Huge man. Now, he can get off as being a legit giant on the indies, because most of those guys are like 5'6".
Yeah.
5'2". Some are shorter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out there and he's like, I don't know, he's got to be like 6'5", maybe, to be tall. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's very big, very big man. But will he be a big man in WWE? I'm not saying he'll be a small guy, but will he really stand out as big?
He'll probably just come across as an average looking dude. Probably like nothing huge, but, you know, like, you can tell he's big, but.
Like a little shorter than Kane, I think.
Mm hmm. Kind of like when you see, like, I don't know, like Billy Gunn or something in person. You're like, man, that guy's really big.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't quite, you can't quite tell that on TV because everybody's big in the ring.
Mm-hmm. You tell them to zip up your pants.
That's my opinion. Jack likes them big and thick.
I like big wrestlers. Do you like a big man, Intra?
Jack, you must take me for some namby-pamby who runs away from a public restroom. That's who you must take me for.
Is that how you, like, you mean you love the big blue cage? Well, they're run away from a fight, which apparently
you can't take that defense no more, because we had us a pay-per-view, and it was the mesh cage, and they were trying to escape.
Is it true,
Jack?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was the shits. That match made Brock Lesnar look like the biggest bitch in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it could have been worse if they painted the cage blue.
Nah, it would have made it better then.
Big bitch Lesnar. And I was listening to Dave Meltzer, and he's like, oh my god. Oh my, he's like orgasmic. He's like saying how great Triple H was in this match and how he really put Brock Lesnar over the right way and all this bullshit. I was like, they didn't even watch a match. Triple H made him look like a total bitch. And people on our message board are, oh, well, you're a disappointer. You just donate to WWE. Fuck you. Fuck you, Extreme Falls, you little fag. That is not the case. Triple H made Brock Lesnar look like a total bitch. He cut him off every time he tried to make a comeback. Brock Lesnar was crying. He was trying to run away from a fight, and he's like bawling like a bitch. It sucked.
Yeah.
Triple H, he should have just ripped the man's testicles right out in the ring. That's what he did.
It was pretty bad.
Big ass Eunuch Lesnar.
I don't know why Triple H has to just bury these people like this. Why doesn't he want to do a good promo, a good angle with somebody? Come out and wrestle, you know, and not make everybody look like a complete bitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, man. Yeah. You know, if you beat a nobody, who did you really beat?
Remember at one point he grabbed, like, the, before he hit him and pinned him, he grabbed, like, the sledgehammer. He just, like, pulled it away and just beat his ass.
Like, give me that. I'm going to spank you right here.
Then, like, Heyman comes in, just grabs him, beats his ass, gets up, starts beating Lesnar's ass more. It's awful.
Well, it would have been bad if Heyman just came in and started going crazy on Triple H.
No, but we could beat him up, then Lesnar could, no, beats them both up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like when Brock Lesnar did look up and goes, "That's my manager." I thought that was pretty funny. You had to chuckle at that part.
I guess, but I just thought Lesnar was the fucking man, now he's just the bitch.
Yeah, he's pretty buried at this point. I don't know, I mean, well, what are you paying this guy all this money for? Just to go out there and do that with him? There was a good time where he took on John Cena, and I thought, I am looking forward to this man's matches for the rest of his time in WWE. Now I don't know if I can necessarily say that. Two bad matches. WrestleMania, then Hell in the Cell, or whatever the hell that pay-per-view was called.
Extreme Rules.
Wasn't a fan. Brock Lesnar crying like a little bitch.
Fucking fag. I think I could beat his ass now. I was always on the fence. Like, you know what? This might be one guy that could take me in a fight, Brock Lesnar. Now I was like, you know what? I could fucking beat that guy's ass. What do you think about that?
You just might.
Mm-hmm. Yellow shoes are bad enough, but oh my god, fucking bitch! And everybody out there, and it wasn't just NXT. It was other people. Like they're like, oh, you guys are just defensive of Brock Lesnar. You think bullshit? Brock Lesnar's not a normal wrestler.
I love how you give everybody an intelligent voice. You're like,
no, it was Dwayne. What do you think? Well, you know what Dwayne sounds like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How does Dwayne sound?
Up the women's wrestling. That's what he sounds like.
Well, yeah, that was an accurate portrayal of Dwayne.
Brock Lesnar, you're just defensive, Brock Lesnar. Fuck you, Dwayne. Brock Lesnar should be kicking ass. He should be destroying everybody. And they're like, well, what do you expect? You think you should just beat everybody? Yes! That is what I think! That is how you get him over! He should beat everyone's ass! He's Brock Lesnar! And then, when he does get beat, not his very first match, like the stupid assholes WWE is, you get Brock Lesnar, oh, let's have him lose his very first match! Yeah, that makes sense! That makes sense. We've got him for a couple more years. That'll really bring interest to all his other matches. Oh, yeah, Brock Lesnar. He's a guy who's 0-1. Oh, boy. I bet he'll really kick some ass now. He hasn't won one single match.
Always losing.
So now he should be kicking ass. Then, when it is time for him to lose, it's a big deal! Because it's not a big deal now! Because he's already lost two matches! And this last match he won! But he looked like a bitch!
Yep. That's how it goes down in WWE land.
Right. Exactly.
Like making UFC wrestlers look like a bitch.
Alright, Insure.
Yes, sir.
Tired of whipping out. Tired of talking about Brock
Lesnar. You think it's because if Chucky Liddell's in town, the Undertaker jumps right out of his character and runs right down there? He's like, oh boy, Chucky Liddell's here. And you think that's what it is? And they're like, damn it. The Undertaker doesn't ever jump out of his character in WWE.
That's what I said. The man, Undertaker, will not go to the funeral of Owen Hart. He's like, this is my fellow comrade, my colleague, a beloved star, died doing the business. I'm freaking Undertaker. I'm a zombie. I don't go to funerals. Hall of Fame, everyone's ducked out in ties. Like, oh yeah, freaking legends up there. Yippity-boo, it's the freaking Hall of Fame. Nope. I'm the dead man. Dead man would not be in the Hall of Fame. But UFC's in town. He's down there. He's probably got one of those little foam hands. he's got his freaking tap out shirt on. He's a fucking mark. He is a mark for the UFC. He's a guy in the locker room. He's like, you gotta shake hands or you're fucking dead. I'm the fucking dead man, boy. I'm the dead man. But then he's marking out like a little mark for the UFC. Screw the Undertaker.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go, everybody. But, yeah. Did you watch, what else, like, caught your fancy on Monday Night Raw? Anything? It was kind of a rough Raw. It was just, like, not a whole lot happening.
I'm trying to just focus on the positive. The positives, Shield awesome, Daniel Bryan awesome, Heyman awesome, and the Wyatt Clan vignette. Loved it.
And that is all.
Bad times was all the rest.
Everything else. they're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and they had they had Natalia. It was her birthday, and what'd she do? She lost,
and she cried like a bitch.
Man, you think Vince watched that later on by himself in his room at night? He's like, I love to see the wrestler's tears.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I could just be overthinking it, but
he pleasures himself to their shame.
Yeah. For some reason, if it's a good day for somebody, or if they're in their hometown or anything, he always likes making them lose.
Or just be humiliated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a strange dude.
You think that's his biggest regret about going PG so his wife can live her fantasies and try to be a politician is that he can't make people kiss his ass on TV anymore?
I'm pretty sure he misses that. He's like,
you think there's a secret kiss my ass club that he does, like, you know, behind closed doors?
And probably Wade Barrett's like the leader of it. I will kiss your ass, Vince McMahon. I'm puckering up right now.
Then you think it would be less... Now, if you made someone kiss your ass, Inch, okay?
Let's just call this person, you know, this is just a theoretical name. Let's just call it Jack.
Now, would you get more or less fulfillment, personal, like, joy, gratification out of it, if it was done, you know, behind closed doors, only two people knew, or out in front of a live crowd with, you know, millions of people at home watching?
The sick part of me thinks that I'd like just to be the two of us.
Really? See, I'd much prefer just everyone seeing it.
No, I want to know
the affiliation.
I want to know that this man can walk around. And he can feel like everything is normal, but I can give him just that look, and just that look will tell him, you kissed my ass. You kissed my hairy ass.
Now, do you think kissing his own father's ass is what drove Shane to, like, go to China?
He's in China now? Did they make a video?
Isn't he in China? I think that's where he's, like, trying to start, like, a pay-per-view in China.
Which entry did he go into?
What?
How did he enter China?
Oh, bringing it up the, right up the pooper. She's into.
No, yeah, I could see how that could probably drive you from a company. If my dad was like, hey, I made this company and we're wrestling and all this, and then one day he's just like, now you gotta kiss my ass, sonny. I'd be like, I don't know, I don't really want to kiss your ass.
Do you think that's a form of incest, to make your own child kiss your ass?
What about the time he checked out Stephanie's boobs when she was on
that's
camera?
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably former in-your-head guest, Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff, smiling at him. That's not a nice joke to make. This is horrible news intro. Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff arrested for allegedly molesting his own daughter for years.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. This is the first time I've heard of it.
This happened yesterday.
Yowzer.
And it was the same woman that he talked about on In Your Head, the virgin, he called her. And I clearly remember him talking about her being really sexy, and it was a little creepy at the time, and now it's a lot creepier.
It's even, like, really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. I didn't know any of this. I saw that, like, he had his picture up on Facebook. I didn't read anything that was a... associated with him. I was like, man, did Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff come back to wrestling and these assholes are spoiling it? But no, he didn't. Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of all that.
Well, if it's true, I think he should, personally, I think they should just put a bullet in his head, but he should go to jail forever.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Man, that's crazy. I remember kind of liking that interview, and I don't think I can like it anymore.
Yeah, I did too. I always liked him. Yeah, well, I can't like a guy molested his daughter. I'm not like a friggin' Benoit fan or something.
A lot of those still out there too.
Yeah, I got unfriended on Facebook by several of them. I was the other day. I look on Facebook. I mean, it's not like I just walk around thinking about Benoit. I only think about when I see stuff like posts like, rest in peace, Benoit. Happy birthday. It's like, really, dude?
Let's wish the child murderer a happy birthday.
It's like, first of all, he's dead. So he's probably not having a great birthday. Second of all, the man murdered his family. His little kid. Do you think that maybe saying rest in peace to him is, like, is over the line in any form?
You should.
And so I posted this on my Facebook, and I was like, do we really need rest? And then, like, had other people like, well, Benoit's a great man. And this was, I don't care, remember her name, but she probably thinks she can say whatever she wants because she's hot. No, that don't fly. That don't fly in Jackie Jones' world. That don't fly. You can't just go around and say whatever you want because you're some hot chick. And she's like, he was a great man who loved his son and loved... How can you say a guy who murdered his son with his own hands loved his son, was a great father? How can you say that? And she called me mean. She said, I mean... for talking bad about a murderer, but the murderer himself is a good guy.
Bad judging character.
And she's like, are you even a wrestler? Who gives a fuck? You don't have to be a wrestler to know that murdering a little boy is bad. And if being a wrestler...
Apparently being a wrestler, you think murdering a little boy is fine.
Makes a... I'm glad I'm not. And I don't even want to say that because I know most wrestlers don't think that's cool. And Bob Cook stood, he was with me, right? I mean, anybody with sense should be with me. Come on.
Yeah.
One thing to say, well, he wasn't the right mind, but blah, blah, blah. But rest in peace. He loved his kid.
Nope.
I don't want to see that anymore.
I don't know. Just some wrestling fans have this crazy obsession with him. And I think it's just because of the story, and they know it's a little bit of a taboo. And they just want to keep on going with it. I don't know. I'm sure William Morey's all about Rock and Roll Bug Zumoff now. What do you think, Jack?
Hmm? What was that?
You know, I could see, like, a William Morey or something being, like, the biggest Bug Zumoff fan now.
It's a conspiracy. He didn't murder his children. Or he didn't murder his wife. Happy birthday. But see, everyone's wrong on Benoit. It was the WWE invented. Set him up.
Well, really, it really did his company a lot of good. It really did his company a lot of good to go out there and have a tribute to a guy end up murdering his kid. Really made their company look great. What would they have possibly to benefit from this?
A lot.
What is it one benefit of someone in their company murdering their family and killing themselves? What could they possibly gain from that?
Benoit didn't kill his family. That's the trick. That to make you believe that he did.
Well, what benefit would it have for people to think one of the employees of WWE killed their family? What could they possibly gain from that?
The Owen Hart conspiracy.
What good does that do them? It's a black mark on all of wrestling.
Well, you know Vince is all powerful. He can cover anything up. I mean, he's doing what he has to do. You know he's a sick, powerful man. And if he's got the power to kill somebody, you know he can do it. You really put that past Vince? Set up a hit on his own wrestler? I don't doubt it.
Makes no sense. I don't even want to hear this bullshit, William. If you're going to call in and start telling me how great Benoit is and hang up on you, don't want to hear it. Do not want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was a bad guy who, you know, I mean, I guess he could wrestle some good matches, but when you go and murder your kid, kind of overrules all of that. I mean, he murdered his kid and his wife. Two people ceased to exist because of him. It's pretty bad. But anyways, William, I didn't even know you were on the line.
I'm like The Rock. I just show up every once every couple months.
Yeah. Good old Rocky Marvia. Well, he is doing, like, everything now. Does he really have to have his own show where he's, like, a talk show host? And he's having people, like, jump off of buildings to prove they're a hero or something? Strange stuff. I mean, just do your movies where you make, like, $15 million a movie. Just do that, Rock. But he's got to do everything. Everything. Or just do the wrestling. I like that probably best. I don't really go to see Rock's movies. Don't know why. Just don't. Not too appealing to me.
Are we really going to talk about this again, that you think the Rock's just going to come back to wrestling and not do movies?
Nah. I'm just saying, I'm not into, like, The Rock's movies. I don't want to see Fast and Furious Part 6. Didn't want to see Fast and Furious Part 5.
I've never seen any of them.
Yeah. I can't think of, like, a Rock movie I actually want to see. Like, currently, what he's produced recently. The last one that looked good was that one where everything was blowing up. Driven or something
Everyone?
Like that. Yeah.
I thought that was his best movie. Fast. Was it Faster or something like that?
Was it?
I thought that was his best movie.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie. I thought that was his best film.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to see that one, but that's about it.
It was all done with real car chases. Yeah, I really liked that movie. Yeah. I like a lot of his movies. And I don't know. I don't think he's appreciated in wrestling, so why would he want to come back to it?
Yeah, I can see
half
that.
Half the wrestlers are like, oh, he's an outsider. Half the fans are saying that, booing him. So fuck, if I was Rise, fuck these guys. I ain't got to do this. I'm afraid I'm making $20 million a movie. Why do this bullshit?
It is a shame. I mean, he does come back, and it's like, he didn't have to come back. And everybody's like, oh, he's Mr. Hollywood now. Everybody's just jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't know. It'd be good to just see The Rock wrestle every now and then. I'd like to see him in a feud with somebody other than John Cena. I'd like to see him in a feud with, like, I don't know, do something with Chris Jericho again. They could work good with one another. I don't think Chris Jericho would just be pissing and moaning about it the entire time. He knows how to work with The Rock. I'd like to see some of that old magic. But it just, I don't know. You're denied that nowadays. Just John Cena running out there with the belt. He's like, got the new shirt today. Oh, the fans, they're a little against me. And then he runs to the ring. I don't know. Cena.
I hate that shirt.
Yeah, it sucks.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
There you go. But, yeah. You watching any TNA Impact, the total non-stopping action?
The action was never stopping.
It's not stopping to this day.
Mm-hmm. Never gonna stop the action.
Cheek saw damn well that the action would never stop. Cheeks.
I don't know. I think I watched it. I can't remember.
Basically, Bully Ray and Sting, they're going to have themselves a match. They're going to be in fisticuffs.
Yeah, I was going to go to that, but then I didn't get tickets because I wasn't sure the exact date that I was going to be filming Human Centipede 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's not happening now. But is that this Sunday?
I don't know. I'm not sure. they didn't really promote it very well. I watched Impact. I swear I did. But maybe it'll be on this week that they're promoting.
Now they have what, like 6 months between pay per views now? Like they should be plugging those, like, so you know exactly when they are.
Yeah, I know.
Bully Ray's the best. You know, at first I thought when he joined Aces and Eights, it's like, well, now I like Aces and Eights, but I don't. Aces and Eights still sucks. It's just that Bully Ray is so awesome that I tolerate Aces and Eights. But they're really just like, they're just like fodder guys for Bully Ray. They're like the you know, Raven's flock. Just a bunch of nobody shitheads who can get beat up for Bully Ray. But he'd be better off just dumping Aces and Eights and just being Bully Ray, the fucking man, because he is the man.
But
he's
this,
the best heel in TNA.
This week,
one of the
Jack,
best heels in wrestling.
He came out and he looked at Brooke and he's like, "I still love yous."
I like this.
I don't know. Well, why's he gotta love Brooke for?
Because she's a whore. She's like,
he's jonesing for some more.
Yeah, he's gonna. You know, when maybe Brooke would be better as a heel. Brooke turns heel. They're like this evil couple. Brooke's on her knees blowing Bully Ray while he's yelling at people in the crowd. That'd be awesome.
I don't know if they could show that on TV.
Why not?
William Morey, would you be down with that?
I think it's long overdue. With
BJ's and wrestling.
She's not very good looking. In HD, I have to say.
Yeah, it's not very good looking in general.
With
a gang rape, you know.
Aces
perfect.
And eights. Riding
yeah,
the train
and
the train
more. Yeah, be perfect. Ultimate heel turn. You know, have her daddy watch as she gets gang raped.
I just like to see whenever they're doing this, the Briscoe guy puts on an engineer cap.
you're going to tell me that you wouldn't have a smile on your face if old man Hogan's down there, Ace and Nate's holding them, and like Bully Ray's just like sodomizing Brooke right in the center of the ring. Like, yeah, watch this old man.
You know, that mental image wouldn't leave me. I think that would be horrendous.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know. I mean, just seeing that would be terrible, Jack. What?
Best, best thing. That'd be heat.
You got the devil in you, Jones.
Best angle of all time.
What's the matter with you?
You're
a sick
like,
man.
Oh, man, Hulk's going to make a comeback now. Hulk's up.
No, he's probably going to run down to his therapist. And he's like, Doc, I saw my daughter getting banged in the ring.
It would be awesome. And she's and not that insult to injury. She just looks at him because she's enjoying it. Said, "Hey, Daddy, I'm liking it." It'd be awesome.
Good Lord, what the hell's the matter with you?
Just you got to think outside the box. Rusty's gonna push the envelope. You can't have Zeb Coulter walk down there and say, "You know what? These friggin' illegal immigrants. They should learn to speak English within 5 years." What kind of heat's that? Who gives a fuck? Now, if Bully Ray is sodomizing Brooke Hogan in the ring, she's enjoying it while they got Hulk Hogan, the legend of wrestling, strapped down, making him watch it, and he's just berating him while he's doing it. That is money. That is heat.
I kind of find it disturbing, honestly. But I do think I'd want to see Hulk Hogan kick Bully Ray's ass.
Yeah, see, then you'd be like, hell yeah, I want to see old man Hogan beat this man's ass now. He's going to get revenge.
I'm hulking up, brother. I'll teach you for sodomizing my daughter. It's like, get him, Hogan. Yeah, teach that sodomizer.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. That'd be good stuff.
Sodomizer Ray is what they call him.
Good times.
You know, I don't know. Where the hell is this angle going to anyways? Where he's like, I love you, Brooke.
I think it's going to this.
Oh, God. I mean, I guess you were right. It is probably headed to this pay-per-view. I'll give you that.
This here is the story. Woo, woo. Bow for glory. Don't need to worry. But this here is my story. Cause I'm bound for glory. Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say about that song anymore.
Now, what if Hogan wins the Bound for Glory series?
Old man Hogan just destroys everybody. I guess they're trying to build up for him having a match, so. Is Sting going to do the job?
I hope so. I don't want Sting the champ again.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Then it's like 4 more months till Bound for Glory, so it's like, can you really build Bully Ray and Hogan for 4 months?
Yeah, that'd be a rough one. Huh. Yeah, jeez. Did you see where Mark Madden told Austin Aries that he won?
Fuck Mark Madden.
He just gave up, I guess. He just figured TNA's not going to punish the man.
Well, he shouldn't. Fuck Mark Madden. What a fag. Why is he even talking about it? What the hell's it to him?
Yeah. I couldn't understand why he was so adamant about defending Christy Hemme.
Mark Madden, this one's for you. Total fag of the week, the week, the week, the week, the week.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to ruin wrestling. He's trying to handcuff the wrestlers from going out there and being heels.
Which is their team name, Dirty Heels.
Yeah, it is indeed. Dirty Heels.
I don't like it.
No, they bring attention to the... I don't like that either. It's like when he had the hashtag heel, Dolph Ziggler for a while. I don't like that. Kind of like brings attention to that what you're watching's not real. It's trying to be cutesy. I don't like it. Like, that'd be like if they called someone, here comes the ultimate babyface. In the ring, we got white meat.
What's white meat?
It's like just some white guy gets his ass kicked.
Oh, I thought this was some new wrestling term.
I mean, that'd be like, I think it is a wrestling term, white meat.
Is it?
A white meat babyface.
I didn't know
that. Just like a smiling goody boy. That, like, the little girls like, and then they get upset when the heels beat them up.
Okay.
What, they just called some guy white meat? Here's Jobber McGee. Job Boy McGee.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a good name.
It's not, no, it doesn't really have a good name to it. I mean, a McGee goes with a lot of things.
Hot Tag Jackson.
Was that Tag Jackson?
Hot Tag Jackson. That's what they should have called Ricky Morton. Robert Gibson, I mean. Hot Tag Jackson.
They need a tag team called the Hashtaggers.
Have you ever been hashtagged?
No. I'm not a member of Twitter. What exactly is a hashtag?
It's a number symbol.
Yeah, but like, if somebody would hashtag you, what is that?
Well, let's say I'd be like, checking out the toilet at the Y, hashtag intro. Now, you'd put the hashtag intro in there to signify that it's like in correspondence to the inch man. You're like, I don't know, here's a better example. This match blows, hashtag WWE Raw. Then, like, you'd search WWE Raw, and, like, you'd see what people were talking about at the moment.
If you want bad wrestling, tune in to WWE Raw.
Your pappy strap match. All right, guys, if you want to call in, 508-644-8503, we're going to take calls, then we're going to wrap this bitch up.
Sure.
Think about that insure.
I think it is splendid.
All right, let's see here. We have Norrin Rad on the line, isn't you?
Norrin.
My wiener.
Hey, did you guys get to see those pictures of Hulk Hogan's radiator?
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn.
What exactly is it?
It's like he's like jerking off like an alien.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, they bleed acid. I assume that like their semen is acid as well. It's like,
what is Hulkster up to now? What, he's having sex tapes and everything else. Why can't I just be a Hulkamaniac and not have to stare upon the man's manhood?
It wasn't. I just added that. It was his hands. He was fixing a radiator and it exploded and it burned up his hands. He had these giant-ass blisters. And then they cut the skin off. It was gross.
He put it on Twitter, and then a few hours later, it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was kind of gross.
Yeah.
Old men shouldn't have Twitter, sure.
Well, if you got your hands like totally mutilated, why would you go to your computer and start posting pictures of it?
I don't know. I wondered that too. I was like, I wonder what his doctor thought. I was like, let me take a picture of this brother. I'm gonna tweet it.
Stand over there, brother. I know you had that all those years of medical school, so you could just take pictures of my hands, post it on the Twitter. Yeah.
It was nasty, insure.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I did want to get a picture when they were giving me the eye surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to tweet at that bad boy.
No. That just sounds horrendous, though. They have to like cut your eye with a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
It's craziness. I just can't imagine it going through that.
Nope. Don't need to see it. Oh, and also, did you see SmackDown? Did you see the really great segment with Sandow and Sheamus?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
oh yeah, yeah. We were talking about this in the chat room. It was the, with the Gordian knot.
Yeah.
I forgot then, all about this.
Yeah, and then Sandow just cut the knot, and Seamus was like, I'm the face. You outsmarted me, so I'm going to kick you in the head. And he got out of the ring. Oh, it was great.
Sandow's expressions when he just, when he, like, outthinks someone, it's just amazing. That guy is awesome.
Yeah, that was masterful.
As bad as, like, we talk about the wrestling being, I mean, there are some, like, really great guys around right now. If they would, if Raw was all Sandow and The Shield and Daniel Bryan and Punk coming back and Heyman, I mean, it would be, like, one of the greatest wrestling shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
They need to cut back for the 3 hours, too.
Yeah. Just 2 hours is fine.
But there are a lot of, there are a lot of guys I like now, and a lot of guys coming up that I'm looking forward to. So I'm kind of hopeful that that wrestling's going to be something I'm really in. I mean, there's stuff I really like right now, but you know, overall there's some bad stuff. But I'm hopeful for the near future of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I even like sweet tea. I never thought I'd say that.
Do you like how he just enters the ring and kind of does the shuffle and then...
Yeah, like, they shouldn't be... I mean, I'm not saying they should be main eventers or all over the show, but for that one segment where it's like...
Oh, no, you think they should be running WrestleMania. That's what you think should be doing.
I mean,
sweet tea?
There's no reason why you can't have good, fun mid-cards, too. It's a fun act. They come out. They look like a bunch of asses. Then you got the real nice asses that accompany them, and they're big fat dudes, and they do a double splash, and they dance like jackasses, and it makes me a happy man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hell yeah, I like that.
I love that. Like in just a few months, you can go from being like a monster heel to basically like a homeless guy dancing on the corner trying to get people to throw change in a hat.
It's the best.
Yeah.
That could happen in real life, too.
Oh, yeah, he's going to take that tracksuit to the front of the bus stop and just...
Mm-hmm.
Tazo's head's going to explode. We're talking about tons of funk and the Gordian knot.
Well, the Gordian knot thing just went over his head.
Yeah, so. He didn't get it.
No, he didn't get it.
He's like, where's Toyota Mamma Mia?
She's a hell of a worker.
Mm-hmm. I want to fund this. Well, maybe not fund it, but I want to film this. I want to film a road trip with Tazo and John the Song Man and Siki while they all go to a women's wrestling show. That'd be awesome.
And then you got the whole afterwards, the aftermath, what they do after the matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they do after the match.
Yeah, their hands look like Hogan's after the incident with the radiator.
What do you call that faction? Restraining Order?
That is a pretty good name.
All right, Norman, thank you for calling in. We're going to get the rest of the callers here. It's been an early morning, so we're trying not to stay too late.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Later.
See, man, we got Shaheen on the line. Shaheen! Give it a bop and a boo! We're talking to you! Alright, we got Jim and a Jam, a Hib and a Hide, a Jim and a Hib and a Hib and a
High! Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good.
Not too shabby.
I'm glad you're feeling better this week, Jack.
You liked what?
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Last week, I was not feeling well.
Are you still OC Slammiversary at home then?
Well, we'll see. I guess there's still a chance I could go see it, but I don't know. I'll be watching it either way.
Just stand outside the arena. They'll give you a ticket.
Probably.
They'll give those things away.
I saw the Bret Hart Appreciation Night on the app.
neatly after all.
You checked it out, Jimmy Jam. Did it work for you technically? Like, it didn't freeze up or nothing on you?
I saw the Bret Hart part after all went off the air on the app.
Yeah, did it work for you? No problems?
Yeah.
Everything went smoothly?
Yes, it worked with no problem.
Excellent.
You know what? I'm going to say this intro. I'm going to say, fuck you, Mike Darrow, the Orisette, over Facebook.com/DERO1975. I put up the call on the show. This jackass is not even a friend of mine on the Facebook. He posts, suck it. Well, I say, oh, fuck you. And anyone on Facebook, go over to Facebook.com/DERO1975 and tell this jackass the same.
Yeah, stick that in the hashtag.
Get him, Hennyverse. Sick him.
Oh, man. Well, what would possess somebody to say suck it after you say call into the show?
Oh. I'm no more Mr. Nice Guy Insure. I know you think I'm this sweet, humble young man who never has a coarse word for anyone.
Yeah, I was thinking that, all right.
Those days are over. You wrong me, and I'm going to piss in your face. Tell me about that.
That would be a disgrace.
Isn't that disgrace to your race? Good song. All right, Jimmy Jam, what the hell were you talking about?
My favorite part of Raw was the highlight reel.
The highlight reel?
You like the highlight reel with Paul Heyman and Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny how he was. Chris Jericho was like, look at your suit. You wore that last week. And then, like, Paul Heyman, like, then he went on to ask him about CM Punk returning. And then Paul Heyman just avoided the question by saying, like, oh, I wore this suit because I respect you, Chris Jericho.
Now this jackass has got hashtag eat poop.
Man. This sounds like a grown-up conversation going on. Are you sure this guy is at, like, 9?
No, he looks like he's, like, in his mid-40s.
Tell him to hit up the Bella Twins.
I agree. Fuck this dude. All right, what were you saying, Jimmy? Some stuff's going down.
Well, for the people who don't have the app, let me tell you what happened during the Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
Mm-hmm. They appreciated Bret Hart.
Yeah, they had the whole Hart family come down for the big Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
I bet that was a hell of a Royal Rumble.
You know, I do have to say, as much as I like Daniel Bryan, him marking out for Bret Hart to saying he's cool, whatever, that was pretty lame.
Nah.
And Shawn Michaels being on Raw doing basically nothing. Waste of time.
He grew a beard.
He did have a pretty nice beard. It's well kept.
All them years of just keeping stubble, it paid off for him. Makes you grow a nice, thick, manly beard.
Mm-hmm. This guy's apparently mad because he's Buck Zumhoff's manager. There you go, buddy.
I think you're just supposed to, like, bury your head in shame and
be proud of that fact. I've managed a child molester. How dare you speak ill of the man?
Man, that is just disturbing.
I'm a total idiot. I'm a total fucking waste of life. That is what you are. And I stand by. That's the... All right, thank you for calling in, Jimmy Jim. You're a good man.
All right,
stick around.
You can stick around, Jimmy the Jam. I hit it a hot and hit it a bit of you. As we go to Shaheen.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Is this Shaheen?
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I was having problems earlier.
No problem.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Going pretty good. Going pretty good.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I read on your Facebook when people were saying happy birthday to Chris Benoit, man. I don't understand that shit either. You killed a fucking 8-year-old, man. Who gives a shit about?
Yeah, so the guy could throw a headbutt.
Yeah.
And one of the people, earlier that day, they said that Austin Aries should be murdered. That they hoped he died. And then they went on to praise Benoit.
Man. I don't know. Wrestling fans are a strange bunch. Strange bunch indeed.
And you know, the people that make up the conspiracy theories, man, it's just fucking Kevin Sullivan theory. Like, come on, man. Are you serious? Who believes this shit?
Morons.
I think he probably moved on. I don't know. I mean, they were together for several years.
Yeah, and it was a long time after that.
Yeah,
right. One thing if it happened, like, the next day or something.
I mean, yeah, I think he'd be a prime suspect then, but... I mean, this has been years.
Hey, man, what the hell happened to Cesaro? I haven't seen him on TV in, like, 3 weeks.
He's just dropping out on dark matches now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should have put him with Paul Heyman.
I think Vince said we've built him enough, and now let's just ruin him.
Yeah. I said, man, this,
I heard Meltzer talk quite a bit about this, and they said there are people there who really are behind Cesaro and know that the guy's great. It can be like they see him as a future main event guy. And other people have worked with him, like to work with him, because he has great matches. And it was after, they had like a really great match with Orton, and he had the really hot match with Kofi. And for whatever reason, Kofi was the one who got the big push out of that. And according to Meltzer, he said that there's also a lot of people there who just think he's boring. So it's why he's not on TV. He gets the push.
Man.
I mean, he's great in the ring, though. He's kind of boring.
I think the character-wise, it's the creative.
Could use a little work.
Yeah, I don't put that blame on him, because I've seen him cut good promos, and he has a lot of charisma, and I've seen him live. I'm not saying he's like the best promo guy, but I find his promos entertaining. You need something to talk about. You can't just be a yodeling guy. You're like a former rugby player. No one cares about that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not,
go with the European gimmick.
How many people in America care about rugby?
That guy that yodels, he could kick some ass.
It's like, who watches rugby besides El Santo Loco in America? No one. We don't care. We have the NFL. We don't care about bullshit rugby. That's just
right.
Something a bunch of thugs play who aren't athletic enough to make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bunch of hooligans. Hooligans, I say, sure.
I think you're right. Hooligans.
I agree. And WWE is trying to, push Curtis Axel down our fucking throats every week now. This guy, I don't see much in him. I don't know what the life is about.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of goofy acting. I'm not too crazy about the man.
Yeah, he's just okay. He's just nothing,
About who?
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Jack. Axel.
I like him.
Jack likes him.
As a main event guy, though?
I like him. I'm giving him a shot. I dig him. Gonna try new people. Try it. Let's see it. Let's see if it works. Do it. Do it, Insure. Get behind them. Let's see. They got behind the Shield. They're friggin' awesome. You get behind them. Let's see if it works. You say
you're
tired.
I like that Bray Wyatt character, though.
I do, too. He's the man. But you say you're tired of seeing John Cena out there all the time. And you're tired of seeing these same guys. Now they push somebody new. Give it a shot.
I don't know. I just don't feel like he's a star, you know. It just don't seem right to me.
Well, who do you want to see him push instead?
I would like to see him push Cesaro. I'd like to see him give him a better shot.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Cesaro.
Bryan Danielson.
Well, I think Daniel Bryan will be getting the big... But Cesaro with Heyman would be excellent. If they said they're worried about him not being able to cut a promo, Heyman, there you go. I would kind of get away from just pushing Heyman. I think he's the man. I think he has been given some TV time in the past and failed to get over, unfortunately. But I do see I do like the guy quite a bit.
Might help him, yeah.
I kind of like Ryback too. He's terrible on the mic though, but he's all right.
Stupid.
I don't know about watching him for three matches though.
I kind of like just the badass dumbass. I get a kick out of him. I like how he just yells catchphrases.
Yeah.
Just laugh. I mean,
you know, he says John Cena's name.
He does some cool, you know, power moves, but most of his power moves are just based on him hitting people hard. I don't really find him that powerful. Like, whenever he's going to carry somebody, like when he's carrying someone down the scene or whatever, really, his legs are buckling. I don't think he's that strong. Like, for what he's like.
Winded.
He couldn't get people up several times.
When he drops somebody, he should be like, struggling!
Dub! I'd love the stupid line. It's awesome. Stupid! I love it.
The stipulations are horrible, though, for the what is it, three stages of hell?
What are they? They're lumberjack.
Fucking terrible.
I'm sorry, but I got to hang up on you, Jim. Your audio's horrible. Yeah, what is it? It's the lumberjack. What's the other one?
I know the ambulance is the last one. Is it tables match? Yeah, it is tables in the middle, and then ambulance.
Man, they already went through three fucking tables at the last pay-per-view. Like, they're going to go through one table, and that's the whole fucking match. Not even three stages of hell. Lumberjack match isn't even extreme. There's nothing extreme about it.
So what should they have? They should have a pit of fire match.
They should have had a steel cage match if they didn't have one in the last pay-per-view, but, you know, that should have been the last one.
They should have a bees and honey match, Incher. You gotta pour honey over some dude.
How about
it's it's like the Candyman match.
The beard of bees match.
There you go.
They wrestle with like a beard of bees.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
I don't want to see no stingers removed. I want that to be real.
Man, you're sick. You're calling me sick. All I wanted to see was ringing some sodomy in front of a guy in front of Hogan.
You guys are fucking crazy, man.
Nah, it ain't me. It's him.
You're watching
bees. That's not as crazy as wanting to see like Brooke smiling because she enjoys it and everything else. So you're going all straw dogs on me,
crying?
Man. No, I'd rather not see it at all.
Hogan's creepy as shit anyway, man. He probably likes it.
What if Hogan smiled? Oh, my God. I'm scared.
Yeah, there you go. That would be a good swerve. They're holding him down, and then he just looks up with a big smile on his face.
Yeah, man. He was tweeting pictures of her legs and shit, man. Fucking creepy as hell.
Where's my suntan? I need to rub.
You'd see, if I could get a shot to book TNA for 3 months... You would see a different show, I'll say that.
Well, we're off TV, and Dixie Carter hates me.
We're going to court.
We're going to prison for...
That's what I'm going to say.
You and Max Hardcore or whatever.
Who?
He, like, got in trouble for selling, like, really crazy pornography. So... Like, he produced, like, some really crazy stuff, from what I hear.
WWE's making a Flintstones movie.
Hell yeah, Yabba Dabba
Doo. The last one's so good. You know what makes it better? WWE make it.
If there's a bad idea that needs to be done, WWE will take it on.
The current script features twists on CM Punk, John Cena, and others. Oh, yeah. WWE guys are going to play prehistoric versions of themselves. This is going to be the worst. Of course, Phil Maverick.
Imagine CM Punk. Imagine CM Punk in a Flintstones movie.
CM Stone.
That's going to be terrible.
Paul Slate Rock.
Who's Paul Slate Rock?
That's what Paul Heyman will be.
Oh.
Anyway, I was thinking for that Bray Wyatt character, what if they brought back, like, Skinner? That shit would that'd be hilarious. Remember Skinner from back in the day?
Oh, yeah, I remember Skinner.
Imagine if they brought him back, man.
Did Skinner do anything? Did he have, like, an angle with anybody?
Never, he was terrible.
Yeah, he had a feud with Bret Hart.
No.
I believe, didn't Bret Hart wrestle him on this Tuesday, Texas?
No, he wrestled him a couple of times. It wasn't a feud, though, I wouldn't say.
But that sold a lot of pay-per-views.
Never won anywhere.
This Tuesday in Texas.
Hot damn! Skinner's taking on Bret Hart! I need to see that one.
It was pretty sweet. It was, what's his name? We had him on the show. Big Bully Busick. Mm-hmm. And he had posted a picture recently of his team for Survivor Series. And it was him and Skinner and, him, Skinner, the Berserker, and somebody else, and I was like, man, that was a hell of a team.
Good time.
It was like a great visual.
What was the Survivor Series, like 91?
I'm not sure of the date. I just remember he posted this picture the other day.
I think it was Iron Sheik in there.
There you go, but he's Colonel Mustafa.
Yeah.
Colonel Mustafa, Big Bully Busick, the Berserker, and Skinner. And you wonder why wrestling was some shittery at the time.
Who was it against? It was against, like, Tito Santana.
I don't even care. I just like that team. That was awesome.
Yeah, I remember that Survivor Series. That was right when, Randy Savage got bit by a snake.
Mm-hmm. They need,
I was a little
they
scared,
need
scared
some,
the shit
need,
out of me.
They need some face six man's incher. Because you got the Shield, you have the Briots, or whatever they are, and you have three-man bands. You need some baby-face six-man teams.
Yeah. Can't think of any right now.
Make one up. Maybe they can add someone to Tons of Funk.
Yeah.
It would be a good addition.
Great Khali.
No. Get him away.
Oh,
but he did team with them this week, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah. Let's see.
Is there any other
good
fat guys?
Tons of Funk.
Or should they just have a skinny guy with them?
Santino.
I like Santino. I could see that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. R-Truth. The guy gave you that, Shaheen.
Man, I hate R-Truth so much. Man. He's got to be the most annoying wrestler ever.
He is pretty bad.
I liked when he jumped out and he got blown up by the A-team or whatever, and his shoes just left smoking. Who was it that blew him up? Oh,
it was
the
A-team, I think. That movie must have been was a big flop, wasn't it?
It was the fake MacGyver. That movie went nowhere.
I watched that movie on Netflix. It was the shits.
Really?
It was terrible.
I think it made like $1.85 at the theater.
Oh,
yeah,
that
was a horrible movie, man.
MacGruber. There we go.
MacGruber. Hell yeah. You gotta feel bad if your movie only made $1.95. It's like somebody talked the ticket move down. Like, I'm not paying $7 to see this movie, but I'll give you $1.95. And that's the only ticket you sold.
Alright, thank you for calling in, Shaheen. You're a good man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. Right before I leave, too, also, you guys thinking about ever having Tommy Dreamer on the show? You got a show coming up in
Yeah.
Philly. My birthday's tonight, actually. My my girl, she got me some tickets to the show and shit.
Oh, yeah. Happy
birthday. I'm looking forward to that.
That would be very good. I actually contacted him. He did not reply. But I did an interview with him at Rock and Shock in person, him and that Chica. That was pretty cool. Seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, it should be a good show. Was it House of Hardcore, I think?
Yeah, yeah. I think they should change a name, because I think House of Hardcore makes you think ECW, and yet the show, they want to get away from just being hardcore, and like they use guys that aren't really, you know, known as ECW guys. So I think the name kind of, I don't think it's a plus. It just makes you think that this is another ECW-like reunion.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as Extreme Rising. That's a terrible name.
Yeah. But at least for better or for worse, that's what they were going for, was trying to bring back kind of the ECW vibe. But House of Hardcore is really just Tommy Dreamer's wrestling company. They got, like, guys that just aren't used at the moment. Like, Edge is there, but not as a wrestler. And Carlito and Chris Masters. A lot of good guys.
Yeah. I think they're all going to be there. And also Ric Flair and Terry Funk are going to be there. So I'm
looking
forward to that. Yeah. I actually want to see Terry Funk more than Flair.
Yeah, Terry Funk's my favorite.
I'm a big Terry Funk fan.
What are you boys trying to do to me? That was one of the highlights ever doing the show, was having dinner with Terry Funk.
Good time.
Yeah, he's a good man.
All right, Shaheen, we will talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, man, how's it going? Bye-bye.
Inter won't go with me to the fan fest this year. He's like, I will not be seen with you in public. You're dirty, man.
Dirty.
Over these last 2 years it's been 2 years since we met, Insure.
2 years?
Maybe not.
No, we met at the Day of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, whatever. A year. And you're like, you've really become a filthy, dirty man in this time, and I just don't want to be seen with you anymore. I think that was a conversation we had.
No, I didn't say that. I said...
You were thinking it.
I said, I hate you. And... no, I didn't say that. I don't know. Just, I don't think I'll have time to do it from work. Because I only give me so many hours. I might be having surgery. And I'm a sick boy, Jack. And you're just making me feel bad. You're an asshole.
I'm sick in the head.
You just should go wish Chris Benoit a happy birthday.
Now, I hope you all... You know what, Inter, I'll get inside. I hope you live.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. See that? I got out of that just by bringing up health issues. Well, I'm not as bad as Buck Zumoff, that's for sure.
Allegedly,
yeah. I don't know. If you saw that picture, he looked pretty rough in that picture.
And this is a true story. I feel really bad about it now. Have you ever uploaded pictures on Facebook? Like, if you do a bunch of the time, and it'll automatically tag people. Like, if post, like, pictures from, like, the Fan Fest or Days of Dead, and, like, it'll automatically put the tags on me. Like, it does the face recognition.
Yeah,
it's pretty
cool.
And it'll do it for any other people that I normally tag a lot. And this is a true story. When I was posting all the pictures of, like, banners and stuff we did on the show, all the Buck Zumhoff ones automatically tagged my brother in them. So apparently, Troy has the same face as Buck Zumhoff.
So there you go. It's crazy how computers mess up like that.
Yeah. The old school Buck Zumoff, though. Back when he had this boom boom box.
I can see Troy like that.
Before he's molesting his daughter. Ah! We got no one special on the line.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
I drank a whole bottle here of, what the hell is this? Vegetable and fruit juice, peach mango. That was pretty let down. Probably expecting me. I drank like a bottle of something. Alcohol.
No, just something with a lot of fruit in it.
Fruit I like the mango. Found that mango is very energetic. It really gives me a lot of natural energy, Incher.
I could probably use a little bit of that tonight.
Well, I probably got a lot of it in my system if you want to, you can just suck it right out of me.
No, I can go to the store and purchase some. I don't have any trouble with that. All What's right, the matter with this guy? No one special. He's a weirdo.
Well, you know. It's living in a secluded area.
Mm-hmm.
I caught grease in my beard today, too. I'm getting pretty good at it, Incher. I've been doing a lot of practice with the cock grease.
I bet.
My first go with it was not a success.
Mm-hmm.
Practice makes perfect. I'm sorry, no one special. What is on your mind in the world of wrestling?
Well, I've just gotten off work, so I haven't had the opportunity to listen to the show. This is a topic that's been brought up quite a lot throughout the course of the show. Go ahead and let me know, and I'll switch it up. But I wanted to talk about Bray Wyatt for a little while.
That's cool. We talked about it briefly, but not really in depth.
All right. I just didn't want to keep rehashing shit. But, I don't know. I mean, I know you guys probably don't really watch NXT, but I've been watching him on there, and he's pretty entertaining. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what they do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because, like, in NXT, the Wyatt family, they're supposed to be the dominant stable. And then you got the Shield on Raw, easy for me to say, being the dominant stable. So it's going to be kind of interesting bringing both of them in, you know, who's going to do what. But
that is one of my concerns, though, because I can see the Wyatts, like, kind of getting the shaft there. Either, like, they won't be able to be showcased, like, at the top, or maybe they'll be kind of like the... Kind of the joke team, like three-man band, or if they really, maybe they can just keep them on SmackDown for the moment. Because I don't know if you can really push, like, do, like, big groups like that, especially when they're both heels.
Right. Well, there's also the possibility that, there's, like, no legitimate source behind it, but just a little bit of murmuring that the Shield might be turning face eventually.
I could see that, because the guys are very good. I think they would be over as baby faces. As long as they don't make them like the smiling goody-goody guys, because I think people would like them. I think people like, you know, they like the anti-heroes.
Right. But what I think they should probably do with them, not the Shield, but the Wyatt family, is like in Chikara, when they had the BDK come in, basically they were just, elite stable. What they would do is they would attack the bad guys and the good guys, so they had to, the bad guys and the good guys had to kind of form an alliance. Because there were, there's a bigger threat at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were to do something like that, I think that would be a good idea for them to just kind of have everybody kind of bond together because of, threat. But, start off with, like, good guys, and then in a couple of months, transition to them attacking people like the Shield or Punk or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think they could get over as baby faces, too. I mean, they're kind of weird, and I think I could see people getting behind them.
Right. But my question for you guys. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not really familiar with the. I know Brody Lee, but I'm not really familiar with the other big guy. Is he any good?
I honestly haven't really seen him wrestle that much. He doesn't seem like offensive.
Yeah.
Isn't like absolutely terrible, but he hasn't done anything that's really stuck out yet. But yeah, Brody Lee's there, and he's really good.
I heard through the IWC that he cock greases his beard. So there you go, Jack.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad Brody Lee has the beard back. He looked very bizarre when he shaved it off.
Yeah. And apparently the other guy was on some type of, like, Norwegian reality show.
Hmm.
That's what I heard. I don't know what it was or what it was about, but that's what I heard. But my question for you guys is going to be, with you guys having not watched NXT or whatever, do you think... that when they bring him in, do you think that there's going to be a lot of people who recognize him as Husky Harris, and they do a lot of, like, Husky Harris chants like they did with, Tensai and other people?
Honestly, I think the WWE Universe has forgotten about Husky Harris.
Yeah, I don't think there'll probably be some signs, which will probably confiscate, but I don't think it'll be, because I don't think it was, like, a really memorable character. You know, I liked him.
Right.
Now, yeah. You don't hear any McGillicuddy chants, and he was probably on more than Husky was.
Right.
In a way, it probably worked out best for him that he was taken, even though I was sad when he was taken off TV because I always really liked the guy. But then he got to reinvent himself and discover a new character and probably end up better for him in the long run.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm Mike McGillicuddy.
I'm looking forward to it. Husky Harris is a man. And he has, and both guys actually have a lot of the veterans behind him. Like Austin and several guys have always thought about Husky Harris being like a really good worker.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, they always talk about that punk with Punk as well.
No shell, yeah.
I like a Shark Boy.
I don't know why he's got to be Steve Austin just because he can do an impression.
I don't know, it works. It's funny, but he's like, if you see it once in a while, it's cool. Like, when he was there every week doing it, it gets old. But maybe if he could do, maybe if his thing was he could do impressions of other famous wrestlers and just, like, do different, change it up. I don't know, but I've always liked him. Like, I don't think, like, I think Shark Boy's going to turn TNA around or anything, but I think he's, like, a good guy to have on your show just to come out and have fun for a little bit. It gets people pumped. People laugh at him. He has, you know, he's not, like, the greatest guy at anything, but he's fun. Gets people cheering him.
Yeah.
Good, like, opening that guy.
I asked where the hell Gunner's been, and, well, I guess I got my answer. He was back on Impact this week. He grew a big beard as well.
Yeah. He loves Jesus. He's freaking all about Jesus on Facebook. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, more power to him, I guess. I don't think
That's
he needs
fine.
The beard.
I like the beard. You're really anti, like, hair in general.
It just seems like there's a lot of beards in wrestling anymore.
I think beards are popular in society.
Probably, I guess. It's the Duck Dynasty. Everybody's like, I'm Uncle Si.
you should grow a beard.
No. I'm not doing that.
Why not? I'd let you borrow mine if it's possible.
It's like a few times I've tried to grow a little bit of facial hair. I wake up and, like, I'll be drooling, and then, like, it just makes it that much worse because it's, like, stuck in the hair.
So you don't mind if it's just, like, rolling off your smooth cheeks?
Exactly. It's a little less, like, all you do is just flip over the pillow then, but, like, if it's just stuck in your hair, then you're like, I can't get rid of this.
You can, like, you know, wash.
Yeah, but, you know, you're just trying to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you city folk act like, you know, I get
like
up and take a fucking shower every time I drool on my pillow. You know what I'm talking about, city slicker.
Yes.
Exactly.
You think we not like you don't just roll around in your own filth like we do down here in the WB.
Hey, I've seen the...
I will say a word of...
you seen what, Inchman?
I've seen the Hoarder show, and they got hoarders everywhere, and they got, like, dead cats in their house. And
what's that have to do with drooling on yourself?
It's, you're trying to act like I roll around my own filth, but I've seen people who roll around their own filth in Massachusetts. I've seen people who roll around their own filth in New York City.
You got some weird fetishes.
No, it's called Hoarders. You need to check it out, Jack.
I don't think I do.
They clean up cat feces for 8 hours straight.
Yeah,
8 hours straight. It's like,
why
I need that
a
room of cat shit.
Would that be a good character for wrestling, of the Hoarder? Maybe that could turn Cesaro's career around if he was the Hoarder.
like they'll be like, King's, like, plugging Wendy's. He's like, you gotta go down and get this sandwich at Wendy's. And he throws the wrapper aside, and Cesaro comes up, and he's like, can I have that? You shouldn't throw it out. I need that. I got sentimental value on it.
Hey.
I like Wendy's wrappers.
Why don't they just combine the American Pickers with the Hoarders? Maybe they could solve each other's problems.
I don't know if, like, ripping people off on their shit is, like, it's like a wrestling character. It's like, I'm going to talk you down on the price on this until I can resell it for more money.
Mm-hmm.
I love their commercials where they're like, nobody is a nobody to us. And it's like, dude, all you guys do is just rip these people off. Just go in and you talk them down on their price so you can go and resell it. You can't act like you're a saint once you do that.
The American rip-offs.
They just rip people off. They're like, hey, you don't know what this is, but I do, and I'm going to go resell it for more.
Well, I like those shows because they act like they're fair, like them and the pawn shop guys. But you know if they're on the camera there, they'd be like, I'll give you a nickel.
Like, oh boy, I can buy me a lot of goodies for a nickel. Give me that shiny nickel.
Because they'll even be like, sometimes they'll like, the person will like, well, I want, you know, $50. And like, well, that's worth, you know, $5,000. So I feel bad. You know, that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever gone to a pawn shop and said, I want $50 for this. And then the pawn shop owner's like, well, that's worth $5,000. I don't feel bad unless I give you two.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to happen. They're going to say, okay, here's $50.
Doesn't
now, my
happen.
Question about that is like, if you go to, like, a local pawn shop, do they have people there that are, like, experts on everything, too?
Like, I gotta call up...
People off the back?
I gotta go call up Jimmy, the local toy expert.
Nope.
Yes. If they do, it's probably just some, like, kid working, like, at the comic book shop down the road.
I went
it's like
to
some guy works at the gas. I'm gonna bring this down to the pub and ask old man McGee. He knows all about the weapons.
I went to this place in town and it got shut down recently, but it was kind of like this flea market that was open 24 hours or something. Well, not 24 hours, but it was open every day. But anyways, I asked the guy if he ever saw arcades or any pinball machines, and he's like, you're going to be my guy. And he's like, he's recruiting me as the guy, his expert. But he never called me. And I think he got shut down for like, for some funny business, so who knows?
Probably good thing you were not his guy, Incher.
Exactly, because I'm only one person's guy.
That's mine, baby.
Are we going to play the Human Centipede?
I'm bummed I'm not in the movie, so I need to take it out on somebody, Incher.
I figured it might sour it for you, and you'd finally be done with those movies.
Someone was talking to me last. That's what they were trying to do. They're like, "Fuck that movie!" Like those art snobs, they don't want you in it. Fuck it! And I was like, I like it. They were nice to me.
That's one movie that will never be tainted in your eyes.
They were nice to me. I mean, I got. Tom and Alona had been trying to get me in the movie. It's pretty cool. I should just lie and said I lived in L.A., I guess.
You might have had to present, like, documentation that you live in L.A.
Well, it would have been pretty cool. I mean, if it's just a small part. Just being Human Centipede 3. You don't think that would have been cool?
Totally want to eat ass on film.
I guess this makes me a mark like DDP, but I was like, I'll fly myself there. Buy my own hotel. I don't care.
Mark Horror for Human Centipede.
I was going to be paid a lunch to be in a movie. It's a true story.
Man.
I'm a Mark Horror for Human Centipede.
I don't know. I think they would have to pay me pretty good to make me do that on film, honestly.
It's not reality. It's a movie.
Well,
like,
I know, but
not
still.
Not they're actually sewing your mouth to someone's anus.
Yeah, but just to be in that position and be like, you know, half clothed and you had to sniff somebody's ass for a few hours. I mean, come on.
Immortalized. I mean, Brie Olson. Whatever the hell her name is. But that would be immortalized.
Immortalized? You want to be remembered that way? Like,
yes.
Being a guy who's eating somebody's ass? Well, all right.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it'd be awesome to be in Human Centipede.
I don't know. Yeah.
Now let's see. Someone said, "Hey, you want to? I don't know. Play this Pac-Man game."
Well, I can do that. There's nothing keeping me from that.
Getting fistful of quarters too.
That guy is the biggest douchebag I've ever seen in my life.
The Prince of
Pac-Man. That guy that beat the Pac-Man game.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's a far cry of like eating somebody's ass out on film and
not
and
exactly
playing a video game. Dude, you have your head stuck up somebody's ass the entire film. I mean, you don't see anything wrong with that.
You do not have your head stuck up someone's ass.
Well, it's pretty much what happens in that movie. You're stuck to somebody's ass, and you're just walking around on your hands and knees.
It's a movie.
I know it's a movie,
still.
But it's like, you want to be sealed on film like
that all the time? Why not? I don't care.
Apparently, you don't care. You do it for free.
I'll get lunch.
You can buy plenty of your own lunches. You can go to some of the nicest restaurants anywhere. You don't need them to buy you lunch.
Human Centipede 3 be once a lifetime deal, be in the movie. Movies I've watched, I've become friends with the Star Part 2.
Mm-hmm. I really
enjoy movies.
I would just require payment for that one.
It'd be awesome. I do it for the art.
And then they turned you down.
Well, they tried to make it work, but only got to be L.A. I told myself down. The offer still stands, Tom Six.
You were totally about eating somebody's ass.
It depends who it is.
You know, I would just be like, man, look at him. He's eating somebody's ass on film.
I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm on this movie. Then I go Days of the Dead, I'll be signing, I'll be like, hell yeah, $20.
I'm ass eater number 6.
And Pete McGee number 7.
Man.
Bring a guy who walks by as a zombie in Walking Dead, like in one episode. Charges $20 an autograph. I could go down there and charge $20.
Yeah.
Being Human Centipede 3. People were actually trying to buy my autograph at the last one.
Really? Start selling it.
This is a true story. We were at the table. We were actually filming the podcast. And this guy walked up. And I actually signed a few autographs there. I mean, it's whatever. But this guy came up and he's like, how much do you charge? I have $11 in my wallet. And I said, that is how much I charge.
That was right on the money.
That's pretty wild. I told him to put his money away, though. I should have taken it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Thanks, Dave. You thought... Here, Dave, I thought Jack and Human Centipede 3 would have been cool. He's been looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it, and I thank you.
I was curious to see it happen, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I'd be wanting to do that for free, but I've already made that point. So.
Well, that's the difference between you and I.
I will
do what I can for the artwork, Incher.
Yeah.
The art's a film.
Sir, a fine president.
But you can see me enter in the upcoming film that I forgot the name of.
Great press.
I will pay $1.95 for a ticket to see this film.
I'm going to look it up right now. Looking myself up. Psychotic State! That's right. I already filmed my part on that, so you can see me in the upcoming film, Psychotic State.
How many G2s did it take to put this man in the psychotic state?
You know who else is in that movie, Intra?
Who?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Well, brother, it's this thing where I just go into a psychotic state.
Who's going to turn on seeing that? Jack Jones and Jake the Snake Roberts in a movie together at last.
I think I'd be prouder of that one than eating somebody's ass.
Oh, Human Centipede 3, that would have been awesome. Alright, Incher.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, No One Special. You're a good man. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, I was just going to hit you with guys with two quick questions. All right. Real quick. The Jake the Snake thing spurred my memory. Now, which one would you guys think would be more embarrassing? To be Jake the Snake's daughter after what happened on Beyond the Mat, or to be Dennis Stamp's kids after Beyond the Mat, knowing that they're dead? There's footage of their dad in his underwear jumping around in public on a trampoline.
I think it'd be worse to be Jake's kids at that time, but now that he's turned his life around, it'd probably be better. But I think Dennis Stamp comes across as lovable in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. And then last one, and then I'm out. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Ricardo Rodriguez was an extra in a porn movie.
Yes, I actually on an old Jackie Jones show, I showed a screen capture of him in that movie.
So my question would be, is that you guys are talking about the Human Centipede, would either of you find him and be willing to participate in that?
Hmm.
As an extra, not as a performer.
Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. Insure?
Now I'm not one to eat ass on film. Would I want to be in a
porn? It's not real. It's a movie. You're not even touching your ass. It's whatever.
You're not even like J.J. Dillon watching from the closet during the movie?
Nah, I don't want to be involved in a porno.
Nah.
Pass.
Fair enough. You're a pure man. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and head on out. Thanks for taking my call. It's, looking forward to checking it out on the archives. And y'all gentlemen have a great night.
Well, thank you. You too.
Sure, thank you.
There is a thunderstorm outside, so if I lose power, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I bet Robert De Niro made his big debut eating ass on film.
It's a movie, man. He's killed people on film.
Yeah, that ain't nothing, but it's just like, I don't know, you're guy ass eater number four.
What about Will Smith has kissed a guy on film? Does that mean he's gay? And
he had
he's
lines.
Having gay sex?
No, I mean, that was a character of some sort. You're not like...
Well, this is a character in the movie. It's one of the people that get tortured.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a very fun role. You know Roger Ebert was right. Not to even watch that.
Ah, screw Roger Ebert.
He was right.
He watched... No. All right. The man's
right.
Dead.
He was totally
fuck
right.
He
was totally right,
fuck,
Jack.
What?
He reviewed several movies.
Bullshit.
And he was right.
Bullshit.
Totally right.
Viewed the movie,
right.
But he clearly did not watch a movie because he didn't understand the basics.
He didn't need to watch it. He didn't need to watch that movie, Jack.
You have to watch the movie.
He is a good reviewer, and he doesn't need to
watch
it. Watch
this movie, but he didn't. He watched it.
He said, I'll just fast forward through this one. I've watched a billion movies so far.
Because he was a bullshit reviewer at the end of his life. The man was senile, whatever. Sure, he's got some fucked up face and all this other bullshit. But if you're going to review movies, you have to review a movie. Now, if he went out and said, I hate this movie.
He don't have to review it. He can just say, screw it.
Well,
nobody's really going to care about this.
He gets paid to review a movie. People respect his opinions of a movie. And the man didn't
nobody's
even watch it.
Nobody's going to care.
He reviewed it. And it was clear that
he cares about review the human.
I would have had more respect for him if you would have said,
just
you know what,
guy.
I don't want to see this movie. I will not review it. But he didn't. So fuck you, Roger Ebert.
I love him. He's a good man.
Burning out with Chris Benoit.
He's a good man, Jack. Not Chris Benoit, but Roger Ebert. There you go.
Take your morals and shove them up your ass, Fag. I'm giving you Fag of the Week. What do you think about that?
You done gave it to Mark Madden.
Well, it can be two fags. You two can fag it up. Fag it up together. You'd be like, these guys are movies. And the other guys are like, oh my God, that guy's got his crotch near that woman. Oh my God. Oh. Couple of fags.
God bless Roger Ebert.
We got Swags on the line, Insure.
Hello, people.
What's up, Swags?
Not much. Just had my DiGiorno pizza tonight.
Hell yeah. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
Got Miss Destiny on the line.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, Miss D?
I'm sorry. Roger Ebert is an asshole.
Swags knows now why I'm upset right now.
Oh, my God. Why is that?
I know it's not wrestling-related, but I just have to get it out.
Oh, my God. Why? All right, let's hear it.
My mom's Red Wings lost to Chicago.
Who's a fuck? All right, Intra, let's wrap this up.
All right, Jack.
All right, Intra, I had a good time here and in your head. Outlinedressing.com. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. You're really driving me crazy. If you're gonna sit there and cry because a hockey team lost, I cannot put up with this bullshit. I would thank everyone to listen to the show here. In your head. I enjoyed myself, Fincher. What about yourself?
I had a good time. Good times had by all. I was this is kind of a strange episode.
Yeah, because I was going to be in a move and you're freaking shitting on it. So I'm going to beat the fuck out of you.
I'd like to see you try. I would love to see you try, Jack.
Oh, Sickly McGee over there. You're like,
I could be on my deathbed and beat the fuck out of you. one hand tied behind my back.
Oh, I got a tight sphincter, and I'll be, well, now you know I'm putting my fucking food right up it.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever, Jack. You're no God tough damn guy. Man. You don't take shits in public. You don't know what it's about. You don't know how manly you are until you're like, I gotta go drop trowel and do my business right here in the Pizza Hut.
Oh!
Tough guy.
I think I've scarred Miss Destiny. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't worry. Just you, her, and every other listener. Alrighty, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Coming up on the show. I don't know. Jules McGee. What the hell? Jules Malone will be on the show soon.
Jules McGee.
George Animal Steel is returning.
Heck yeah.
And Inter. Bob freaking Holly will be on the show.
Oh my Lord. How do you manage that?
Bob Hardcore Holly.
Heck yeah. Alrighty, everybody. We'll see you next week. Take her easy.
Achtung, Achtung. Here's Alex Ryan. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.